Guys, wow. That was good. Thank you, Pat. He got me emotional. He said, the passion he has for yours. That's why I'm here. Like, if I can deposit something and leave you with something that empowers you and makes you look more like him, then we did a great job. And I'm just excited because I got to sow. So unless you sow, nothing grows. That's why I go boom, 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 boom when I preach. It's boom. Because if I get as many seed out there as possible, we just have a better harvest coming. So if I just, I said, I'm Danny Gospel Seed, man. I just, the whole, every session, man. And that Energizer Bunny thing, he is no match for what's inside of me. No match. What's inside of me was here way before somebody made him up. I can prove it. I've had Energizers in this battery pack many times. And they couldn't hold it. I burned them out many times. No match for what's inside of me. Well, listen, it's simple. I said it this morning, but I didn't talk about it. The angel of heaven, the Lord came to some shepherds in a field. There was a baby being born. He's in a manger. He's Mary's boy. His name is Jesus. The angel appears, lights up of great joy, which will be to all people. The great joy comes from the good tidings. Good tidings of. The fruit of the good tidings is the great joy. So we're not trying to have joy. We're not looking for a spirit pointing of joy. It's joy in the gospel. It's when you understand what he accomplished. Good tidings. He's talking about the gospel message of great joy. Long time ago, I got thinking about that and I thought, I don't know if we understand the good tidings because I don't see great joy. I think life's speaking louder than truth. I think we're being deceived into becoming a product of what we're going through instead of what he went through. I think we're only doing as good as it's going instead of as good as he is in me. I got thinking about that. Read my Bible and getting a lot of backing on what I preach. Better yet, Jesus came and touched and changed my life. And Pat's right, it's 21 years ago. Everybody that knows me knows I've been like this for 21 years. I tell them I'm getting worse. I'm getting worse because I get to know him more. I say, I'm always going to be what you see right now. There's no going back. So I'm either going to be this or more. There's no other option. Life doesn't have the power to change that because life's inside of me. And it's an eye that you look through and it's the lamp of your body. The eye you look through is the lamp of your body. Where you see from determines how bright you're going to shine. What you see and what you believe reveals what you're going to be. Yeah? The eye is the lamp of the body. It's Matthew 6:22, Luke 11:34. It's there. It says, if your eye is single, it's healthy. If it's looking through truth, your whole body's flooded with light. Doesn't say unless, of course, your best friend just did you wrong. Unless, of course, you just got laid off, just got told off, just got put down. It says, if you see clear, you'll be clear. Period. I want that. I feel like I got that. But I want that. Do you want that? Or do you want everything else to matter more? Come on. Oh, man, there's a bunch of folks. Somebody from Alaska. This better be good tonight. I was like, what? Y'all came from Arizona? I hope this guy preaches the gospel. I was like, I wouldn't drive from Arizona to hear me preach. I'd just listen to me in my head. No. I preach all the time to myself. I preach to myself. I preach in my heart. I preach out loud to the air when I'm driving sometimes. I just preach. I think about Jesus and the gospel and the finished work. It's alive in me. Can you tell? like it's not old, it's not stale, it's not theology, it's not doctrine. Don't get trapped just in a doctrinal theological study. This is relationship. This is life in me. This is Christ in me. This is communion and co-union with Holy Spirit. This is the person of God desiring to live in me and paying the price necessary to get in here. That's incredible. Like your house is fit for a king. Didn't even probably know it maybe at some point, you know? Prime real estate. Like God could live anywhere. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He could put an amazing castle in the sky and everybody could see it from the north, south, east, and west one time. Who knows he could do that? A massive castle, and you teach your kids that's where God lived. They come out of the house. But he doesn't want to do that. He doesn't want to live with a house made of. He wants to live inside of you. He wants to live inside of you. And he wants people to look at you and go, not look at you and go, there's a difference between those two looks. Be real with me. He paid an amazing price to live inside of us. You must be special, girls. Yeah? True. You up there painting? Looks like it. She got some all over your hair. But it looks good on you, so good. I messed you up, didn't I? It's all right, you'll be all right. Jesus loves you, girls. Man, he paid the price to make things right, to move back in. Not to get you to heaven someday, to move back in. To be personal and intimate so we could be friends. He didn't call you servants anymore. I call you friends. Why? Servant doesn't know what the master's doing. We're supposed to. We're supposed to understand by now the truth is here. The cat's out of the bag. We see what he's up to. Don't get theological. Don't just get doctrinal. Don't get in wars over scripture. Get your heart so filled with love. I've met people that can quote the scripture inside and out, and they're mean. They've left knowledge puff them up when love edifies. They're letting knowledge take the place of knowing him, and knowing him is what transforms us. To talk about him doesn't mean you know him. To quote the word doesn't mean you know him. It says you know him when you walk in love. Let me tell you what love is. It doesn't seek its own. Period. It takes no account, no account, no record of the wrong done towards it. That's awesome. It's not puffed up. It don't parade around. It hopes, believes, and endures all things. That's just the summary. It's more than that. It's more there in Corinthians 13. I just touched some good things. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity. It rejoices in truth. There's some other things there. But I'll tell you the ones that really get me. You say, well, how can I take a record of wrong and keep count? Because you don't think of your own, yourself. Love doesn't think of its own. That's why God's not hurt by you. That's why you didn't bust up his day. Because he's not sitting there waiting for you to do him right. He loves you. He positioned the Son and he's speaking better things. He's looking to turn you back to him and to truth. I grew up thinking I could break his heart. I grew up thinking he was angry. I grew up thinking he was displeased with me. Scripture doesn't teach me that. The Bible says if you draw back, Hebrews 10, he'll take no pleasure in you. It's amazing how you hear that and you think displeasure. He can take no pleasure in you if you draw back. It doesn't mean displeasure. It has nothing to do with him going, When you draw back, it's to destruction. You're not growing and into the fruition of what you're created to be. He can't take the Father's heart pleasure of watching you grow into what He's called you to be. It's like you watching your children walk out their destiny. It's like you watching your children make full use of their gifts. It's like you watching your kids mature and grow, and you sit back and you take pleasure in their choices and their growth and their maturity, and you go, but if your children draw back, you can't take pleasure in that truth because it's not there. It doesn't mean displeasure. He just can't rejoice in you becoming what He's created you to be. That's all it means. It's amazing how we're trained to hear displeasure. Yeah. It didn't say that God was so displeased that He finally sent His Son to do something about it. It didn't say that God was at so wit's end and so frustrated with humanity that He finally said, you know what, I'm just going to send my Son. The impression that we have of God sometimes. My granddaughter really loves me. I've always been like her favorite person on the earth. I didn't even try it. I just love her. And I had a certain relationship with my grandfather that I honored so much, and it taught me so much, that I decided if I had it with him, she can have it with me. My granddaughter doesn't even put me in the position to correct her. She never puts me in the position to discipline her. It's like it's you can't understand. You'd have to be around it. It's like, whoa. But she's never saw me show displeasure towards her. Never. She's 10. Not one. And I got talking to the Lord about it. I mean, I take her on an 8.5-hour drive one way, spend 2 days in a hotel and drive back 8.5 home, 17 hours in the car, 2 days in a hotel, nothing but pleasant, pleasurable, giggly, loving, and not even one settle down, we need to stop, are we ever going to get there, how much farther? She never does it to me. She does it to other people in her life. I hear things that she does, and I'm like, that's not her. I can't even imagine that. And they're like, well, she was in a real mood. And I'm like, I don't even know that mood. I don't even know what you mean. And I started asking God about it. He said, it's the way she sees you. And she so honors who you are, it breaks the best out in her. And He said, so imagine how important it is for people to see me rightly. And no wonder my name has been so profaned, misunderstood, and skewed among men. It's a strategy. I don't share this stuff with cameras running in the pulpit too much because people tend to get condemned. You have to qualify what you say so much sometimes. So people don't hear you wrong, get hurt, get condemned, or say, well, that counts me out. Well, it wasn't my grandpa. Well, I wasn't so lucky. That's what people do. Right. Yeah. And instead of hearing that things are possible, we hear what we didn't have or what we didn't fulfill or how we fail. Instead of getting the point, we get judged by what's being said instead of empowered. My grandfather was 6 months shy of 100. When he passed, I was 48 and still had a living grandfather and grandmother. That's pretty awesome. I had both my parents and both my grandparents. I was 48. That's rare. He passed. He was 6 months shy of 100. I did his graveside. My family asked me if I would. I said I would be honored. While I was doing his graveside, I was lifting his life in honor and memory. He's a very special man. I realized doing his graveside for the first time in 48 years of living that never one time in my 48 years of life did I have one memory of Grandpa expressing 1 ounce of displeasure towards me. never yelled at me, never told me to shut up, never argued, never told me to knock it off. I never saw my grandfather raise his voice at me and show displeasure one time. So don't tell me it's not possible, because I had it in my life. You say, well, you're lucky. No, 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 it's a gift. It's something that I can spring off of and say, you know what, it's possible. I'm not believing everybody else's experience. I'm not believing your rational and moodiness and, well, yeah, we'll all have our days. Too late for me. I had it in my life. My grandfather knelt every day and prayed before every day. He said in his heart, I'm going to treat my family in gentleness, loving kindness, and love. And the heart of God is going to be the expression of my life to my family. Don't think I didn't give him the opportunity to fuss me. I'll bet you. Don't think that I didn't position myself for it. He didn't have it in him because it never came out of him. It wasn't there. He settled that in prayer. And God said, I like that. Okay. Bink. Now, you can't hardly tell these stories because grandfathers get condemned and say, well, that sure counts me out. Grandchildren say, well, you ain't talking about my grandpa. Listen, whether that was you or not, it's possible. So let's start now and go after that. Let's not be judged by it. Let's believe it's possible to change. Let's believe it's possible to live in peace. Let's believe it's possible. So guess what I did? I said in my heart, wow. And all of a sudden my cousin who was, she was the rowdy one. She was the oldest. She was in a girl's home by age 13. She ran wild at a very young age. Her little brother, who was my cousin, who was a year older than me, got hit by a car going 70. I was chasing him to the house to race him. He was from me to you when the car knocked him a half city block and a half. And I watched him spin and slide on his face for a half a block. Dead. Don't tell me I don't understand stuff. Happens. Stuff happens. None of it has to do with Jesus. He's not administrating that stuff. I'm not sitting here trying to get over the loss of my cousin and the trauma of 5 feet away getting killed by a car. We're living in a world and things are happening, but God showed me who he is by sending his son. So he's never my problem. I'm not subpoenaing him. I'm not running him through the court of my mind to try him. He's already acquitted in my eyes. He sent his son. He gave men authority. He gave the earth to the children of men. He told us to steward the earth. We're living in fear. We're living in disgruntlement. We're living in arguing. We're living in prayerlessness sometimes. We're living in debate and rebuttal. We're not stewarding not much of anything, but when something happens, it's amazing how it's God. It's amazing how we covet life instead of the one that gave it. It's amazing how we take the gifts he gave at the cost of who he is instead of in the light of who he is and steward him properly. See, I throw these little things out to you and you realize that I have stories like you do. I haven't had a rosy road. 5 feet away, I watched that car hit him. That guy was drunk. He never stopped, hit and run. He spent some time in jail back in those days. If he'd have done it now, he'd have been in big trouble. They tracked him down. I think he did a year in prison. But I watched Donnie fly through the air. He went up on the hood. The windshield smacked him so hard. I think he landed from here to those curtains and then slid us half a city block. Dead. I think my cousin got affected by that. I think my aunt and uncle got affected by that. They lived sad. They lived quiet. And she lived wild. And on Grandpa's funeral day, my cousin cried so heart when I was sharing, and all six of my cousins lost it. You know why? They all had the same testimony of Grandpa. And they realized there was a message through his life that they could all learn from. And the Grandpa set his heart to something and lived it. And it told us we could too, if we wanted to. And my cousin came running to me and she said, You shed so much light on that man. She said, I just realized there was things I would never do around him that I did around others. There was things I said and did to my own parents that I wouldn't even dream of saying and doing in his presence. Because now I realize I so honored who he was. And I said, you know what? I realized I had that with my granddaughter. At that time, she was only 4. I already had that with her. And on that day, I set my heart and said, and I told her, I said, your grandpa's going to be around a long time. You're going to have to prepare for that. Because I said, someday you might be standing like we were for great-grandpa, but I said, it ain't going to be anytime soon. And said, in fact, you'll probably be a grandmom yourself. Because I ain't in a hurry to go nowhere. I'm having a time of my life. You say, life is tough. You don't understand. It's your eye that believes that. You're using the gospel to get through instead of be transformed. It'll be all right. Come on, guys. You don't use the gospel to serve you. The gospel changes you. I told her I ain't in no hurry. I'm having fun writing a legacy, touching men's hearts and lives. And I know to be with him is better and all that, but I got the rest of eternity. And the best I understand, I got this little gift called time. Yeah. And I'm going to use it for his glory. I'm going to love everybody I pass by. I'm not going to live in animosity. I'm not going to get in fights and arguments. I'm going to be like him. I'm going to sow seeds into as many hearts as I can. Now, you can get hurt and frustrated and people bothered and all that stuff if you want to. That's your choice. I'm just telling you what I'm going to live. And I told my grandma, or my granddaughter, you better look around when you up there in age. I told her this. I said, when you're 50, you better look over your shoulder because grandpa's going to be smiling right at you. You said, how can you talk like that? That's presumptuous. When your card's up, you're out of here. No. I set my love upon him, and with long life, he'll satisfy me. I don't live in fear. I don't believe I have a time card punched. I don't believe that's right theology. He says it's appointed once for every man to die. He didn't say there's appointed time for every man to die. Probably ought to read your Bible over again. Yeah. You young folks just better look around. One day you be calling me Grandpa Dan. Instead of Papa. Some people say, you've been a father to me. Sometime from now, they'll be saying, you've been a grandpapa to me. But here's the deal. The relationship we have and the way she sees me brings the absolute best out of my daughter without her even trying. So our view of Jesus, our view of the Father, probably ought to be clear, huh? Because the way I see him determines me. And the way I begin to honor who he is begins to put an honor in my life. You guys with me? I didn't tell you that little story to compare me to you or for you to get judged. I told you that little story to show you it's possible. Can I tell you another good heritage in my life? Yes. My mother. I'll try not to cry because she's the sweetest thing. Sick for 40 years. She believed in healing. I got saved. I believed in healing. Went through a long time where I didn't pray for her much because I thought I just didn't have a strong understanding. She told me some things and said where she stood, and I thought, wow, she can't be healed right now. So I actually believed that then for a long time. It's just, I won't go into the whole story, but it's hard when it's that close to home. It's hard when it's right in your face. And you get so familiar. I'm not saying it has to be, but it can be, because you get so familiar with sickness and so familiar with it, and you pray and you pray, and next thing you know, it just feels rhetorical. It feels religious. Who knows what I mean? And sometimes it just feels like you're just trying. You know? 40 years goes by. I mean, I carried my mother to bed when I was a young man. I changed her pants when I was pretty young. She was on tubes, feeding her, going to the bathroom. She didn't walk for 15 years. She didn't get out of a bed. I've seen a lot of people healed in my life, guys. If I don't have a strong relationship this way, that's a quandary. I'm hurt. I'm offended. I'm challenging healing, the gospel, the word, because that's my mom. Yeah, I got Jesus in a way higher position than that. And I'm never going to let my experience determine His truth. His life already settled that for me. He gave me something to follow and grow into, not challenge and accuse. I'm not going to let my experience trump the Word of God that's already settled. I honor Him way too much. I'm not going to say, well, I prayed for my mom and she didn't live, so it can't be God's will to heal because I prayed. That's shallow to me. That's just emotional. That is a human quip. That has nothing to do with Scripture. That's just the way that seems right. And actually, if you think about it, you're going to let one experience trump what's going to last forever. We got to start honoring Him way above the things He gave us in life, called family and people. Come on. He said, unless you love less, your mother, your father, your wife, your children, your houses, your land, and yes, even your own life, you'll by no means be my wholehearted follower and disciplined learner, disciple. Unless you love less, that all-inclusive, intimate, personal, sentimental list of folks, you'll by no means walk out what I created you for and called you to, because you'll get something on that list and let it get in the way of following me. And you'll let it dull your heart, frustrate your heart, quandary your heart, or anger your heart. And you'll by no means fulfill what you're anointed to. Come on, guys. It is good, because you already know I was 5 feet from my cousin and watched him get killed. You already know my mama died when she was 68 because I never saw her healed. She died. I did her funeral too. Man, did I blow a trumpet. You know why? There was nursing staffs, 3 of them, at her funeral. And 3 doctors. That's unheard of. People dying on them every day, they don't go to their funerals. They might get close to a patient and go honor a memorial service or something, but you don't got 3 nursing staffs and 3 doctors standing at any patient's funeral. You know why they were there? Because of who she was. Because they said they were so honored to have her as a patient, because they will live the rest of their life and maybe never meet anyone like her. And she believed in healing. She wasn't saying, well, this is my lot in life. This is the grace God gave me and the lot He gave me to give me access to people. I said, come on, He doesn't have to make you sick to give you access to people. Just walk out your door. Amen. Amen. Just some of the stuff we say is so hollow, man. But sadly, we seem to believe it at times. You say, well, we prayed and they weren't healed. It can't be God's will. Tell that to the 9 disciples and Jesus in Matthew 17 when they prayed for the epileptic boy and he wasn't healed. Tell them it wasn't God's will when Jesus turned around and corrected them and went ahead and delivered the boy. But when they prayed, it didn't happen. So tell me Jesus healed him and it wasn't God's will. New Testament. Men prayed, it didn't happen. Oops. They said, why couldn't we do it? Because of what you fail to see. But if you see what I see, you'll do what I do, and nothing will be impossible for you. Oh, that's in your Bible. Yeah? It's amazing how we'll let a human experience trump a life that was lived, God in the flesh. An example that was set. He said, when you see me, you've seen the Father. You've already seen him when you've seen me. I've come to do the will of him who sent me. So when you look at Jesus' life, you've got the will of God sealed. When you look how he carried himself, he didn't reject people. He didn't say no. He didn't say if you get more faith, you could be healed. If you deal with the unforgiveness in your heart, maybe you could get a breakthrough. If you would stop this, maybe I'd love to heal you, but I can't because God's using the sickness to work character in your life. Endure it. Jesus didn't say any of that. And we say all of that. To try to answer our troubled hearts when the word already does. So don't be troubled. Amen. I'm gonna. Well, thanks for the encouragement. At least I know I have one on my side. Just kidding. Watch this. I'm not even here, honestly, for you to agree with me. You gave me the mic, guys. Pat gave me the mic. It's done. Unless you strip it from me, I'm bringing it. I feel it. It's. You'd have to kill me. Watch this. But the truth will still be the same. You can get mad and walk out because you're sentimental. Because you say, well, he might have lost his mom, but I lost my mom and my dad. You can make it worse. And you can disqualify your ears. And you can walk out. But it won't change truth. And you'll stay frustrated. You'll stay hurt. You won't grow close to God. And your questions will keep you at a distance. And years could go by and you lose your productivity. Because you're quandering over physical loss instead of pursuing life eternal. And you're letting something that happened yesterday dictate the rest of your days. And it's the wrong thing that happened yesterday. You got to go back further. See, I throw these little things out because people see my joy, my excitement, my passion for Jesus, and they think it's just because he put me in this little spiritual bubble and we just walk through life and everything's cool. That isn't even the way it's ever going to be. There's lawlessness on the earth. People will make mistakes. Men will betray, hate, deceive one another. You just got to be careful you don't get caught into all them lies. And you got to let evil be overcome by good. And never let sin against you give a right for sin in you. And you got to shine. So here's what I'm going to tell you about my mom. This is my other heritage and my mama, okay? Don't you get condemned by this. Be challenged and grow. Don't you be judged by this. Don't you compare through this. 40 years of sickness. Died, not getting out of bed for 15 years. All the nurses were standing. You know why they stood by her bed? Because they never one time saw my mother complain. And all she ever done was be sweet and kind and nice and apologize if her arm wasn't turned enough for them to use a needle. And sorry, I'm making it so hard for you to change my clothes. I wish I could help and move my leg. That was my mom. Not, oh, this stupid disease. I don't know why I have to. I don't know where God, and I don't know how come, and I don't know. Oh, she could have been there, I guess, if she'd let herself go there, huh? She sure had enough evidence to. She was on so many tubes. She's just laying there, guys. A bundle of smiles. I never one time heard my mother complain about her condition and complain about her life. Why? Because in her Christian faith, she understood no matter what I'm in the middle of, I'm called for one reason, and it's to shine. And this thing might be stealing away my body, but it ain't taking away who I am. And it ain't taking away the light that's inside of me. So when she died, nurses came to her funeral and three doctors. Unheard of. To honor a woman that they thought they may never meet one like her again. An enigma, one in a million. And I stood there. I have a little bit of wisdom. I'm not the sharpest fellow, but I perceive things. And I saw their faces. I was like, oh my goodness, thank you. I see on behalf of the family for all of you coming. Oh my goodness, hey, wow, guys, that's amazing. That humbles my heart. And they're like, I know why you're here. Because you thought she's an enigma and there's no way you'll ever meet another woman like her. And them girls are just, whoa! You couldn't not love her, right, ladies? Had them all crying in 5 minutes. It was fun. I just tore them up. Slobber fest, I'm telling you. Nailed them, man. Because I knew what they're thinking. I knew they honored her. Because they never met anybody like her. They saw people in a third of her condition as mean and miserable and messed up as could be emotionally. And I'm not mad at that person. I understand what they're letting happen. I'm not condemning them and judging them. I'm saying what I saw in my mom tells me it's possible. I'm not judging the person that's not living like her. I'm just going with what's possible. And you can yell, but all you want. But I'm going to follow that as she followed him. And if my Bible says do all things without grumbling and complaining, it means it. And if my Bible says don't complain like they complained in the wilderness, lest you be devoured and destroyed like they were by the destroyer, it means it. Come on. We complain if a road's closed and we got to go around a detour. We complain if you turn on the highway and go, oh, man. We complain if the light turns red right before you get there. Complain if your cell phone battery's dead and you ain't got a charger. That's serious right there. That's borderline death. I'm messing with you now, ain't I? I don't want the capacity to complain because it's a sure sign that I'm still thinking for myself, convenience, and preferences. In the natural, my mother had a million reasons to complain and everyone would have understood. I heard nurses say to her, Kay, sometimes you need to just vent a little. Sometimes you just let out how you feel about this disease and it's okay. You're just so nice. Sometimes I think you're too nice. You need to just vent a little, Kay. And she would go, well, what would that accomplish? Like, why would you encourage me to do that? I would settle nothing. Honey, that wouldn't accomplish anything. They're like, oh, yeah, I guess you're right. What were they saying? I know what I'd be if I was in your bed. I don't understand you. I wish you'd act like I would. Right. But when she died, they stood there to honor her because she touched all their lives. So here's a lady in bed for 15 years and can't walk. And I pull up to the cemetery to do my mom's graveside, and I'm figuring I already know who's going to be there. And it's going to be very small. And it's just our immediate family, and I had about four other people in mind. And I pull up, and there's nowhere for me to drive, park, or get to the front. And they were double the whole way up and around and down. And I just sat there and cried. Came to honor a woman who hadn't been out of bed for 15 years. Care workers over the years, people had saw her obituary, people that had rubbed elbows with her for a small season were marked by her disposition, her attitude, her smile. And they knew they wouldn't be what they saw in her if they were in her shoes. And they honored her. And they were piled up at her funeral, and I was just cried. It was ridiculous. I just cried. Because they were there. It taught me so much. God just ministering to me. I'm going, you go, Mom. Grandpa taught me something. Set an unlimited heritage in front of me. Mom, unlimited heritage. I'm not living to be perfect, guys. But I believe what I saw in her is possible. And if it leads me to perfect, praise the Lord. What I'm saying is I'm not set up in this to be condemned and fail. I'm encouraged to charge and move forward. And if in anything I stumble, get up and keep following the example. and not judge yourself for where you're not, but enjoy what you're becoming. Are you guys good?
Yes.
I didn't want to talk about any of that. I did. Let's talk about this healing thing just a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah? So there's my mama. She passed. I saw people with that same disease healed, two in one service, back to back, right at an altar. All their symptoms left her body. That's powerful. You know what I did? I jumped in my car. I didn't let nobody talk to me. I said, listen, I got to go. Don't hold me up. You know what I was thinking? I'm thinking like we're taught to think. Wow, I'm in the river. Finally got a breakthrough. Got this MS thing. Bowing to the name of Jesus. I'm on a roll. Got to get to mom. This thing's flowing. You just drive. You get to your mama and you run in there. You don't say hi to nobody. You're just heading to mom to get your hands on her because you just saw two people with the same disease. Every symptom left. I'm talking every symptom left. So you drive in there and you lay hands on her in Jesus' name. And she just lays there and looks at you smiling. And if you're not rooted and grounded and solid in the gospel, you're an emotional wreck and you don't even want to get up and move. You don't want to pray. You don't want to move forward. You're just personalizing your mom, her condition. But when you look deep in her eyes, there's something she believes that's actually making her okay. Yeah? So guess what happened? 5 months later, I was sharing the story about my mama after really ripping and tearing in a service. And people are looking that don't know you thinking, well, you know, some people get really presumptuous, you know. I had a lot of people confess a lot of things. Like this young man who was bold and humble and said, man, I listened to you a couple of years ago and I thought you were out of your mind and actually didn't like you. It's because the things I say so challenge where you're at. So you'd rather not listen and walk away and get mad. It just guarantees you'll stay the same. Okay, so who are you protecting? Your old self. I had a lady come up to me crying. She said, 2 years ago, my friend gave me a CD. And my husband this and my husband that. And I popped it in and she was saying, you got to listen. And I listened to it. And I listened for 5 minutes. And I said, this loud mouth, I don't need to hear this loud mouth who ain't got no troubles and challenges trying to tell me what I need to be with my husband. She punched it and hit the thing and shut it off and pitched the CD up against the hutch, you know. Oh, loud mouth. Talking about me. Year later, she's cleaning that hutch. Things were getting piled up. She's going through this stack, reading through, sorting mail, doing what people do. She got a stack of stuff. Year, just piling up. She gets down towards the bottom, and here's this CD. Year later, she says, I wonder what this is. I wonder. I don't even know. I want to pop it in before I throw it away. I'm going to check out what it is. Same voice, same message, year later, 5 minutes, bawling, undone. She said, I've listened to that CD 20 times. I cry every time. She said, God used you to change my life. And a year before, I didn't want to hear it because I was mad. If somebody's preaching, and even if you don't agree with them, if you're getting mad, that's a warning. Why do you got the right to get mad? Why don't you cry for them if they're off? Why don't you pray for God to have mercy on them and give them understanding? Why do you get mad? Why do you post something derogatory and slam somebody because you don't agree with them? It just shows you don't know Jesus. That's all it proves. Because while you were yet a sinner, he was busy dying for you, not posting you. It just proves you don't know the Lord.
Right.
I'm gonna. The only thing you can do now is leave and then you'll give yourself away. I got you so set up. You get up now, we're just all gonna go.
No.
People will be announcing, just going to the bathroom. Love you, brother. I'm serious, man. I've been around so many Christian friends. And they say, oh, man, I was listening to that guy. It made me so mad. I just got up and left. And I'm like, what? I mean, if you're that touchy, you're going to get mad about every other thing. I mean, you're just trouble waiting to happen. If you just sit and listen to a guy talk and it irritates you, you're irritable. Like, you're an easy target. You say, well, then get under my skin. Jesus wants to give you new skin. They get on my nerves. Jesus wants to give you brand new ones. Tolerable ones, patient ones, forbearing ones, loving nerves. Serious, he really does. He wants to give you new life. He wants to take away the old. Stop relating to how you've been. And you say, well, I've always been this kind of person. Well, I'm just this and I'm just that. No, you're relating to Adam in you. You got yourself stereotyped and you've let life decide who you are. But then new life comes into you. Everything changes. You look the same, but you're not the same. I'd hurt my wife so bad. I was so unloving for so many years. And after I got saved and she got delivered and saved and set free from stuff, we got together. And I would catch her. At times, the Lord would just boop. She would look at my face and it was the same face that was insensitive. It was the same face that hurt her. It was the same face that, excuse me, and it was before we actually grew in this revelation of love that I have. We were just saved. And weeks, a couple of weeks went by and I'd catch her looking at me and she'd see my face and remember the same stuff. And I'd look at her and smile. I'd catch it all the time. And I'd say, hey, that guy you're thinking about, he's long gone. He's out of your life forever. Love you, sweetheart. I know he looks the same, but he's different. She'd go, hug me. Can I read you this note she stuck in my Bible? It's not from a YouTube fan. It's from my wife. There's a difference. You get a note from somebody that's watching you on YouTube, you can receive it. It's sincere. It's there to take. But when it's from your wife who you live with, it's a pretty powerful note. That's from my girl right here. And she didn't write it knowing I was going to read it or she wouldn't have wrote it. Pink. You want this from your wife that you live with, that sees you day in and day out, that walks through every trial and challenge and everything with you. You want this from your spouse. I'm just telling you, it's possible. Amen. Hope you have the best weekend ever. You're a true man of God. Now this is her. It's not a reflection of you. This is what she thinks because she's my wife. I doubt God can find many men, if any, on this earth with your integrity, character, and heart. I guess I'm not blowing smoke when I preach, huh? I guess this is my life. And I guess when you get a note like that from your wife, unsolicited, just slipped in your Bible, that's a pretty good day. It makes me want to cry because I didn't know how to live this way until Jesus came and rescued me from myself. I didn't know how to be this way till He came and I gave it all. You gave it all? Yeah. I gave everything I was never created to be so that I could become what I always was positioned for. The only thing He asked me to give was what I never was anyway in the first place. So it was no sacrifice. This Christian life will cost you everything. Everything you never were in the first place. Some price. Hi, buddy. So you got to give back selfishness? Whoopee. Yeah. Heavy burden. Got to give back me, myself, and I? Whoa. Don't make it hard. Am I messing up? I don't even know what I'm doing. I wanted to talk about healing a little bit, and I keep getting distracted in a good way. It's cool, even when I feel like I'm bouncing, I feel like I'm making sense. It's this fun. It's grace in my life. It's good. Somebody said to me, you can say anything you want. It seems like you get away with it. I said, because I have no need to correct anybody. I did not fly here to set you straight. I flew here to tell you who you are. That you're worth the blood of Jesus. It's all right. Just pray for her. She's a little offended right now. Just hey, I know what she is. She's healed, aren't you? Aren't you? Watch this. She got healed Friday night. And then she realized something she didn't even mention or ask for was completely changed as well. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Yay, God. Hey, who's here that we prayed for last night about sleep and stuff and you commune with God? Anybody want to share something? Anybody have a testimony? Did you? Did you go commune with the Lord? Did you have a different experience than what was normal? You didn't even take anything?
You very clearly said, don't take what you normally do and go and commune with God and ask Him to take everything that you're struggling with. So simple, didn't have to get all technical, laid down and went to sleep. And the only reason why I woke up this morning is because the sun was shining on my face.
Wow, that's a good way to wake up. The sun shining on your face.
I normally would have gotten up 3 or 4 times.
Okay, so normally 3 or 4 times, you just slept through till the sun woke you up.
Yeah.
Anybody else that we prayed for that had a testimony, wanted to share? Who else slept? Anybody have an experience that they want to share?
Come on.
No, it's all right. Was something different? Was something better?
I take normally 3 different medications.
Stand up and let me hear you, man. Did you? Were you here Friday?
Yeah.
When you were here when we prayed this thing out? Okay, talk to us, man.
I normally take 3 different medications.
3 different ones. Seems to be a trend here. Amen. Listen, it's very simple. When I said about these guys putting the thing aside, it's not some kind of faith act. It's just, you know what? I'm just trusting your love for me. I just believe you're for me. You love me. You're just going to empower me to sleep tonight. So thank you for it. Anybody else want to share something about their night last night and sleeping? I got 2 here. Go ahead. Jump up and let us hear your story. Okay, a relaxant, yeah. You were charged, were you?
An hour before my alarm went off. And I was like, hey, wake up. And I just woke up and I was like, let's go.
And you felt good?
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Come on, man.
Yeah, so for anybody that had kind of a different experience, Dan, I shared this because I want to hear your take on it. And like there was a time, like it did not go well at all. And so there was a time when I would have been really offended by that. And last night we're talking about, you know, just getting alone with God and saying, Father, I know you love me. You see what I'm going through. This isn't from you. I know it's your will to take it from me. And then just, you know, being in faith. So I've tried all different kinds of medicines, haven't really found anything that helps me sleep. So I've been drinking to help me sleep, and which I don't like. I really don't. But anyway, so last night I go to bed. I didn't drink what I normally do. and I didn't take any pills or anything, and I lay there, and like 30 minutes passed, and I'm hot, and I'm in pain, and I can't rest. And, you know, I got up, and I was just like, Lord, look, I'm not going to get condemned about this. Like you talk about.
That's right.
Faith is
go
not
ahead.
Nervous. It's not a point in time, like. It's a position of my heart. I know that I can receive this revelation. I can receive this from God any night. It doesn't have to be here at this conference that I integrated or whatever. And it was like 3 in the morning, so I was just like, whatever, dude. I just drank and went to bed. But how would you respond to that? Like, what would you say moving forward? Because I do... Like,
well, I think you're on track moving forward. Tonight when you go to bed, just continue to believe the same thing about God's love for you.
Yeah.
See, if not, watch this. If he reacts in a negative way, gets bummed out, condemned, we don't even realize what we're doing. All of a sudden, you turn faith into a method of ministry and healing scriptures into principles that we're applying, trying to get results instead of a relationship and a love and a covenant with God. It's a big difference. And then all of a sudden you're striving, you're frustrated, and you might as well, and you could turn 2 days into 2 years with wrong thinking. You follow me? So here's what I say. I say when you go home tonight, when you go, if any of you went to bed and didn't have an experience that allowed you to sleep all night or whatever, you go to bed tonight the same way. Father, you know what? You love me. I'm just, man, I'm not testing you. I'm not trying you. And I'm not giving up on your love. I'm just believing tonight your grace is sufficient and you're for me. And I just thank you.
Yeah.
Man, you put rest in my heart, peace in my mind. Tonight I'll sleep as much as I need to. And I thank you. And some of us, I'm just going to challenge you with this. Some of us, we studied a fallen man so much. And then we try to say, that's us. So some of us say, well, I'm a 10-hour, I'm an 8-hour person. If I don't get my 6. No, you might be amazed. Just ask God to help you rest what you need. I'm like, I go to bed at night, it's like hooking me up to a battery charger. Like, I'm just out. It's just, doom, zzz, I'm just gone. I don't dream. Old men dream dreams. I don't dream. I don't dream. And people say, well, you need to pray for dreams. Leave me alone. I enjoy my 5.5 hours out cold sleep. Sometimes 5.5, it's never 6. Unless I'm really, really on a long day, it might be 6. It's rare. But it's like, you know, it's like you just hook the little contacts up in the Lord. You crow to bed, you boom. And you're just charging there, and all of a sudden that green light kicks on. You go. And you're just up. And you're ready.
Yeah.
So please don't get stressed about this. Don't get analytical. Don't turn the gospel into methods. Don't let this book be reduced into a book of principles you're trying to apply to get help. It's a relationship. It's love. It's covenant. It's an introduction into intimacy. And faith is a spontaneous result of knowing Him. And it comes through communion and relationship with God. Don't let the experience and the circumstance challenge what's already proven. God loves you through His Son crucified. People ask the wrong questions. They don't realize they get contentious and ask the wrong questions. Every time Jesus was asked a question from the wrong place, He responded with a question. He never answered their question. When they came and asked Him a question in spite or from the wrong place, He always perceived it and He asked them a question. He didn't buy into that thing. So people say to me, well, if God was so good, and they're a little heated, or they're a little, you could just tell, they're a little, well, if God's so good, then how come He allowed, and how come, and I prayed, and it's still, and I want to know, if God's so good, why did He? And I look at him very calmly and I smile and I say, honey, maybe we asked the wrong questions.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. If God wasn't good, why'd He send His Son, who was innocent, to die for you when you were yet a sinner? Why don't you start there and settle that He's good and that He's for you?
Amen.
And let's continue to grow along the way. And usually that'll humble a person's heart when they're contentious, if they actually want to learn. If they just want to argue, people just argue. Yeah. And sometimes I'll call you on that if I really perceive it and I realize I'll just, at the risk of you punching me, I'll just say, listen, I can hear in your heart you don't even want to listen to anything. You've already settled in your mind, but what you settled isn't producing fruit. It's not good. I feel for you. You got to stop this. What are you accomplishing? Trying to be right, proving everything wrong through your life. It's all your fruit's proving that what you're standing on isn't right because you've lost your productivity. Come on. And if I see that in your life, I'll call you on that. If I'm all, but I will pull you aside and talk to you about that at the risk of you being mad at me. Because I don't have a need to set you straight. And I know that in my heart. And I don't need to be right in your life. I'm going to get on a plane. Watch this. I'm going to get on a plane and fly home tomorrow. And life's going to stay awesome in God. And ain't nothing nobody can do about it. So what people think, I'm way past that. But I'm not trying to make enemies and I'm not trying to frustrate you. What I'm saying is, life is good in God and I already get that. So there ain't enough contention that can change a truth that's already flooded my heart. You're too late. Don't take your lack of experience or your bad experience and try to trump a whole truth that's settled. Because you might be talking to the wrong people. It might be too late. It'd be like trying to come and say, your name ain't Keith. You say, what? Your name ain't Keith. Okay, whatever. Come on. Okay. Look at Luke 24 with me real quick. I'm going to try to move along. We're going to wrap this up. We're going to pray for some folks. Is it all right if we pray for a bunch of folks? Excuse me. Luke 24, verse 46. And then he said to them, thus it was written. Oh, I still hear pages. I'll let you get there. I'm sorry. I was already there. It's after Mark. Luke. I'm just kidding. Thus it's written. Thus it was necessary for the Christ, the Savior, right? The Christ, the Anointed One, to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. It was necessary. Why? That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations beginning in Jerusalem. What's He want to be preached? Repentance and remission of sins. You look up remissions, it means the total removal of. Non-existent. The Lamb of God who... He what?
Takes away.
So if the Lamb of God taketh away the sin of the world, where's the sin of the world? Taken away. So now it's taken away. Now what? I guess we ought to be sons. Probably shouldn't stay sinners if it's taken away. If He forgave you of all sin and cleansed you of all unrighteousness, I get the only thing left is to be righteous. See, we make this terrible mistake of thinking our ability to sin still labels us as sinners. And then it continues that process in your life. It dulls your senses. You lose your power of conviction. And all of a sudden you say, well, that's the way we are. You know, it's amazing He loves us. Yeah? Repentance, the remission of sins. You know what we think growing up repentance is? Crying and saying you're sorry. So you have altar calls. Come on, make peace with God. You need to make it right. You need to ask forgiveness. People will come and wail at this thing, man. And they'll get up and cry going back to their seat and cry leaving because they feel like they're going to stay the same. And they're sorry for being a mess up. And they think it's repentance. Repentance is changing the way you think.
Yeah.
This is changing your mind. Repentance. Man, I used to think I was unworthy and my life didn't matter. The gospel taught me different. I have to matter. My life is worthy. He had never died for me and shed His blood. Duh. Man, that's repentance. Hello? Wow, I used to think I was happenstance. I used to think I was here just because my dad went into my mom and something happened, you know. Actually, I realized there's a time to be born and God saw my day before I was seen and before the foundation of the world, He predestined me to be adopted in as a son. Wow, my life matters. My life alone, just my existence is the yes and amen of God. Repentance. Change the way you think. Repent. The kingdom of God is here. Start thinking for His kingdom. Yeah? It's so clear. Repentance. It's not boo-hoo, I'm sorry. Condemnation and tears. It's wow. I used to think for myself, I'm done with that. I'm going to deny myself, pick up my cross, I'm following Jesus. I used to make it all about me. But I really am going to pursue learning what it means to make it all about Him and others. I believe there's life there because that's what I see in Jesus. That's repentance. I used to feel like I had a right to have animosity in my heart and unforgiveness. Now I realize there's no grid in the kingdom for unforgiveness. The forgiveness I was given has produced that same thing in me towards others. Wow. I'm not going to be an evil and wicked servant that once forgiven of every debt I owe and then hold my brother accountable for something he owes. I'm going to be a good servant and I'm going to become the very thing that helped save and set me free. Love and mercy. Yeah?
Yeah.
Repentance. God wants repentance and the remission of sin preached in all the nations. Why do we believe in healing? Because people are sick? No, we believe in healing because of the remission of sins. By His stripes we're
healed.
Why? The blood was shed to remove the act of sin. The body was beaten brutally and paid a price to remove the effects and penalty of sin that incurred in men. So you eat the flesh and you drink the blood and have life. If you fail to discern the body of Christ, for this reason many are weak and sick and even asleep died early. Doesn't say everybody, but it says many. Probably ought to discern. Probably ought to stop fighting over healing because we've lost loved ones. Probably ought to believe the body paid a price for something. And so did the blood. You don't just take the cup. Take the cup and the bread. Yeah? And unless, John 6, you eat the flesh of the Son of God or Son of Man and drink His blood, you'll by no means have life. Whoa. So why do we pray for the sick? The forgiveness of sins. Righteousness brings redemption and restoration. When God sees you, if you've never sinned, then the price and penalty of sin towards humanity must be destroyed by the same sacrifice. The word redemption means brought back to original value. Judged as if you never ate the tree. Judged as if you never followed the voice. If you're forgiven of all sin, why would you be judged for sins committed? If you're cleansed of all unrighteousness, are you sure that's a bathroom break, Dan? Is your wife going to the bathroom? She's not offended, right? Okay, we're just keeping an eye on people tonight. They're so precious. I got to hang out for a weekend with you guys, didn't I? Yeah, it was fun. Repentance, remission of sin. Guys, we've got to see our sins are forgiven. We've got to stand in the righteousness of God. By His stripes we're healed. Chastisement of our peace fell upon Him. Man, they put a crown of thorns and they pressed it into His head and pushed it in blood, just ran. There's a redemption of the soul, the emotions, the mind, the torment, the anguish, the anxiety, the lies. He paid a price for you to be made whole. Says He rose from the dead for your justification. The word justification means just as if you've never sinned. So if God sees you just as if you've never sinned, why would the penalty or condemnation or judgment of sin be able to remain in people if we really start understanding this thing?
Amen.
We live condemned, we live mad, we live frustrated, we live opinionated, and we wonder sometimes why the gospel's not working. I heard my wife listening to Joyce Meyer's CD like 20 years ago. Joy, good old Joyce, 20 years ago. She said, some of you want authority and you don't even have authority over a dirty sink of dishes. You want to raise the dead and heal the sick, and you ain't got authority over a dirty sink of dishes. Complain, and who made all these messy, and why didn't somebody pitch in, and you're wrecked by a sink of dishes, and you want to move sickness off of people's bodies. And I'm like, man, that's straight. Just making it real. You go, Joyce. Go to Matthew 17 real quick with me. We're going to accomplish something here. Wow. It's a quarter after eight. I'll tell you what. Go to Romans 5 quick. Would you? Yeah. Matthew 17 will wait for us. It'll be there. You know what's awesome? When we go there, it'll be there. And you know what else? It won't change. No matter how you feel, no matter what you're going through, when you open that book, it's the same. We probably ought to learn that. It never said that he loved me in a scripture, and then I went back and read it, and he said he's thinking about it. I'm so secure in his love, it's ridiculous, man. He'll never change his mind. A million years from now, he ain't going to stop the show and call me to the front and say, you know what? I've been thinking. I'm in. He loves me. He loves you too. I used to get real flaky with it, man. I used to walk around, get a white daisy, just pull the petals. He loves me. He loves me. Loves me. Loves me. Loves me. Loves me. Not even afraid to get to the last two. Because there's no he loves me not. Loves me. Loves me. You say that's weird. No, that's liberty. There's no he loves me not. So I'm not going to live outside of his love. You're not going to find me condemned and guilty and second guessing. And not going to happen. You know where faith works from? Love. You know what you're supposed to be rooted and grounded in? So I guess love already has to be settled if you're rooted and grounded. I guess life's not proving love. I guess circumstances shouldn't have a voice in challenging God's love. I guess it's unscriptural to say, well, I thought God loved me. Oh, God loved me. How come I'm going through all this right now? If God didn't love you, why did he already send his son and raise him from the dead to make you right with him? See, you got your eyes on the wrong thing, and the way that seems right to man's eating your lunch. The love of God should never be questioned again. So you're still awake at 3 in the morning. It's not a questioning the love of God. It's not, God, if you love me, why? Father, thank you for loving me. I went to a friend's house, and there was a lady they were working with and ministering to for a long time, and I didn't know it. And I walked in, and I'm dropping something off, and this guy's phone rings nonstop. He's very active. He actually works in a certain line of work where his phone's ringing anyway, just customers nonstop. But he ministers to everybody. He's talking Jesus plainly all the time. So I walk in the house, and every time the phone rings, it's somebody on the phone. The phone's ringing nonstop. I went, and he says, this is a divine appointment. I'm like, are you kidding? They just called. Your phone always rings. I'm just here. Stop making it all spiritual and spooky. The guy's just on the phone. It's not a divine appointment. And he's like, no, it's a divine appointment. We have fun. I'm laughing with him. I'm like, if I wouldn't have been here, the phone's going to ring anyway. It's all the time. Yeah, but it's them, and you're here. So this lady calls, and she has no breath in her. She can't even talk hardly. You have to pressure ear the phone, and she's talking in a whisper. She has something that's killing her. She's bedridden for 3 months or something like that. She's laying in bed, and the life is just coming out of her. And hospice is there. They don't really know what's going on. She would call for prayer, and they're encouraging and cheering, and they've been hearing her voice fading. And that night, I happened to drop some things off and pick some things up. And she called right when I was there. He saw her number. He freaked out. Divine appointment. We've been praying and praying and praying. I'm so glad you're here. And I said, and what? So now, like, I'm going to pray, and we're going to get different results than you got. And she's going to say, wow, I'm glad you showed up and saved the day. Or you're going to say, what were we doing wrong? Because when Dan prayed, she's healed. You don't realize the position we put each other in. I got on the phone. I got talking to her. You can hardly hear. I said, honey, I don't know your background, but what would it mean if I say receiving the love of God? Do you think you understand what it means? She said, well, I can't say that. I know what you're talking about. I said something like this, and I began to pray and talk to the Lord like I talk to Him when I'm alone. And I said, what's happening in your heart when I talk like that? She said, that was beautiful. I said, you've never done that? She said, I didn't even know I could. I said, I want to pray with you. I want to lead you in a prayer like this. And I want to hang up and believe that you'll have an encounter with God's love. I'm not going to pray right now about your condition. I just want to introduce you to your loving Father. I began to talk to her on the phone and prayed with her. And I led her in a prayer and I just hung up on her. I said, you call us back in X amount of time. I think I said, you call them back in an hour. Just check in. Let us know how you're doing. She never called. I left way before an hour anyway. But I got a call from the lady of the house where I was, the wife, the next day. She's pretty freaking out. I said, what's going on? She said, that lady. I said, what about her? She called me this morning. I didn't even know who it was. She's just talking to me. I never heard her talk full strength. I never heard her voice before. I always heard her whisper. I said, whoa, what happened? Here's what she told me. I hung up the phone and she looked up at the ceiling and said, that was beautiful, the thought of you loving me, that you love me. If you sent your son, that would mean you do love me. You do value me. And I said some things on the phone that she never considered. She started to say them. She said the love of God came and laid on her. She said she was under tangible expression and love of God Almighty. She said, you never experienced anything like it. She just laid there and was breathtaking. God, you... She said, somehow, early in the morning, she dozed off and woke up an hour or two later. And her heart was full of the awareness of God's love for her. Now watch this. She's so ecstatic. She's praying. She's communing with God. She gets up and goes to the bathroom. She hasn't been out of bed for 3 months. She gets in the bathroom, starts bawling, and realizes her body's changed. Nobody prayed for her. She just communed with God and His love. She called our friend with full strength in her voice and said, and then she came over and met them, and for the first time they met her face to face because it was always phone. And she shared this story. Isn't that pretty awesome? Okay. Wow. Duh. I turned you to Romans 5, didn't I? Honestly, Jack, we're going to go back to Matthew 17. I was going to do something, and it's rare he tells me not to do it. But I'm not supposed to do it right now. It's just okay that I listen. I don't mind being wrong. Because I'm not supposed to do it now. Maybe tomorrow night. But the thing I was going to do, I'm not going to do. We're going to go back to Matthew 17. And most of the time when I want to do it, he says, okay. And sometimes he tells me to do it. I just wanted to do it. But he said, not right now. Stay focused here. You guys ready? Yes. Verse 14. When they had come to the multitude, who? Jesus, Peter, James, and John. Where were they? Hanging out on the Mount Transfiguration. Jesus was up there turning inside out. I heard a pastor poetically saying the glory on the inside shone roundabout. He literally turned inside out. While he's up there, they're hanging out somewhere. There's a multitude, there's a village, there's a man, there's a boy. If you come looking for Jesus and you can't find him, you might as well stop with the boys, wait and talk to the boys that are running with him. Especially because 7 chapters before, these guys went out 2 by 2 and did the stuff. Yeah? Scriptural?
Yeah.
Whatever chronologically that looked like, 7 chapters before, don't know the time frame in between, but before this time, they had already went out 2 by 2 and saw miracles. So if you bring your boy to find Jesus and can't find him because he's on the mountain with three of the disciples, I guess the nine that are left are a pretty good bargain. We'll just take our boy to him. Because they're running with this guy Jesus. And he anointed them and sent him out in his name. And they did the same stuff. So we're in good fortune. So I bet you when he brought his boy over there to them disciples, they probably didn't say, "Well, you know, I don't think we should pray. We probably ought to wait for Jesus." No, I'll bet you, honestly, I can't prove this, but I bet you probably confidently they said, "Sure, we'll pray for your boy." Because they already went out two by two. They were already commissioned. I don't know why we don't preach this all the time, because it happens to us a lot. We ought to preach this all the time. Because it's the only place in the New Testament where men prayed and it didn't happen. And seeing that Jesus had a lot to say about it, we ought to read it. Because we seem to have a lot to say about it. And it doesn't seem like what we're saying has anything to do with what he said.
That's right.
Wow. When he came to the multitude, a man came to him kneeling down to him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son. He's an epileptic. He suffers severely. He often falls into the fire, often into the water." So, because of this, excuse me. Because of this, so I brought him to who? Do you hear that? So, because I know these guys, they're running with you. You sent them out two by two. I know who they are. My boy's in trouble. I couldn't find you. I brought him to your guys. I brought my boy to your disciples. That's what he's saying, right?
Yeah.
Who knows? He didn't do anything wrong. If he did, Jesus would have said, "Well, friend, I wish you'd have waited for me. It was appointed for me to heal your son." Disciples, you're so full of zeal. I wish you'd learn discernment and hold back and wait for the master. So I brought him to your disciples and they could not. Bummer. I mean that. I'm not being. Bummer. It's happened to us too much. We ought to listen. We ought to humble ourselves. We ought to stop getting mad. We ought to stop letting the fact that our mother died keep us. We got to stop letting that keep us from hearing. We got to tone down. Not be so quick to speak. Be quick to listen. Slow to anger. Right? Come on, guys. I thought if I act weird and act it out, you won't do it anymore. Because maybe you'll think you look like that. I'm just having fun. I brought him to the disciples. They could not cure him. So Jesus answered and said, "Well, I wish you'd have waited for me to come." Well, you know, there's a time and season for everything. And you were a little out of timing, guys. I wish you'd sharpen your prophetic skills. Well, you know, the dad has a lot of hidden issues. And if you got him to repent, maybe the boy would have been healed. You know, I think there's unbelief in this family. Well, sir, this is your lot in life, and God just chose this for your boy to teach you some things about a character and integrity. Man, he didn't say nothing like that, did he? Have you heard all those examples plus some? Do you know there's books out there that say 33 reasons why men aren't healed? Used to be 30. Somebody added 3. Somebody got thinking real hard. Came up with 3 more. You know what's amazing? Jesus didn't have that book in his back pocket. Why? It wasn't his experience. Why'd we write the book? To explain away ours. Here's the problem. You take one of those 33 reasons and let it into your belief system, you've just stopped the release of God's kingdom through your own faith. What did Jesus say when they said, "I brought him to your disciples and he could not cure him"? Oh, faithless, perverse, that means twisted, generation, How long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. Sounds pretty serious. It's not a hard rebuke. He's not angry. He's not belittling them. Perverse, twisted, generation. He's face to face with the fall of man, self-consciousness. Did you ever pray for a visual thing? And you looked at it and didn't see it changing while you're praying and your mind spun a little?
Yeah.
And then you wondered, where do I go from here? Because I just prayed my best kingdom prayer and it didn't move. Is it okay if I relate and get real and we talk about what everybody's experiencing? Because we turn this stuff into motions and methods and wonder where the power is. It's not a magic formula. Jesus' name is not synonymous to abracadabra. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, name above every name, and He lives inside of us and He wants us to understand some things. He said, you faithless and perverse generation. What he's saying is, you're a twisted-minded, corrupted thinking people. You're looking at his symptoms. You're looking with your eyes. You're thinking with your mind. You're failing to see who you are now that I'm here. And it's creating unbelief in your life. How long shall I be with you? I told you I'm going to go soon, turned over to Pilate and men. They're going to crucify me. I've been telling you that the time's coming. I'm going to go be with the Father. How long shall I bear with you? Guys, you got to get this. I'm handing you the baton of the New Covenant, New Testament church. And you're going to be the embodiment of Christ. Bring the boy here. Watch close. I'll show you again. You get this? I brought him to your disciples. They could not cure him. Ah, you faithless. Get your minds in the way. How long am I going to be here? How long am I going to bear with you? Tell you what, bring the boy to me. That's pretty confident, huh? Does Jesus ever do anything that's not the will of God? So if he heals the boy, is it the will of God? So you're sure of that?
Yes.
So if Jesus healed the boy, is it the will of God?
Yes.
Was he healed when his disciples prayed?
No.
Oops. Wait a minute. But it was the will of God.
Yes.
But he wasn't healed when they prayed. Then I wonder why we sell out the will of God when somebody's not healed. Jesus didn't sell out the will of God. He proved the will of God. Come on. Would Jesus have talked to his disciples the way he did if they didn't have the authority to heal the boy? Would you correct your child for doing something they had no power over something? Would you adjust them? Would you set them straight if they couldn't have helped something? Would Jesus say, you faithless, perverse generation, if they couldn't have done anything about the condition? No way. I agree, that emphatic, there ain't no way. So were the men in position to heal the boy?
Yes.
Was it the will of God?
Yes.
Did he get healed when they prayed?
No.
Oops. Now we got a whole lot to say about that, but Jesus said something about that. We probably ought to go back to following him.
Amen.
So Jesus rebuked the demon. It came out of him, so it was a spirit, it was epilepsy. And the child was cured from that very what? Now, I love verse 19. Verse 20 gets better yet. But I love that these guys came and humbly asked him a question.
Yeah.
It's a crystal clear, no punches pulled question. Watch how clear this question is. The disciples came to Jesus privately and said, watch this question. Why couldn't we cast it out? Look what Jesus said. Before I read what he said, let me tell you what he didn't say. Because you ain't got no faith. He didn't say that. He said, because of your unbelief. He didn't say, because you ain't got no faith, you need to get some faith. He said, because of your unbelief. And if you translate it out, it literally says, because of what you fail to see. He answers their question
What? With four words. Because of your unbelief. And he doesn't even camp there. He shifts right to the promise. Yeah? So Jack loses a loved one. Yeah. 2 years ago. Called wife. And you sit on your bed. You say, God, I don't get it. We prayed and prayed. Man, I even had Dan pray. Even had Todd pray. I need you to come and speak to me. Jesus, I need you to come and comfort my heart. Minister to my heart. Man, I just want to learn. I want to grow. I'm asking you to father me. Who knows, that's a humble position. Man, I mean, why couldn't we get it done, Lord? Jesus just pops into Jack's room. And he says, hey, Jack. He goes, whoa, Jesus. And he says, Jack, it's simply what you're failing to see. He's not saying, Jack, you need to get more faith. That would be pretty raw and insensitive. It's not what Jesus is saying. Then let's stop saying it to each other. He's full of compassion and mercy, and he understands there's loss. And he says, Jack, it's just what you're failing to see. What's he saying? There's a place where we can see what he sees. Not just see the sentiment, the close relationship of wife, what a sickness does to a person, that whole face-to-face reality of that season. You know what I'm saying. I stood by a friend's bed dying of cancer after I just lost a teenager and a woman to cancer. And it was a tough season because I just lost two people. We're seeing healings. We're seeing cancer destroyed. And then you got these couple that just sit there and don't move. And it drives our minds bananas. And we get into analytical mode and try to figure it out. Well, something has to be blocking. Well, it has to be this. It has to be that. And we get a million miles outside of what Jesus is trying to teach us. So I'm praying for my friend and I'm getting more emphatic. I'm going every day. Now I'm going every day. So it looks like I care. It looks like I love this guy. I'm praying every day. And when I pray, man, believe me, if I want to pray, I've got the scripture in my heart. I can pray and impress you. But that thing wasn't impressed. It just sat there and looked back at me every day. But I... After it was all over and he passed, I laid on my bed and cried. And I said, Lord, what's going on? He said, Dan, as much as you're building on what I'm doing, you're letting some of the things you haven't seen and some of the hits hard to your heart still influence your life. You watched your friend changing. You saw his appearance change. You heard the report of his numbers rising. And you shifted into watching him die and afraid he was going to die. And all your aggression and all your passion and all your diligence of every day was motivated by the fear of death, not the promise of life. You were watching your friend die and you said, here we go again, this ain't going to happen. And you were motivated by death and losing a friend instead of the promise of life. That's not complicated to me. That helps me. He said, Dan, what's the only from birth condition, accident, short, messed up, limb, leg, you've never seen change or grow out in your life? Because at that point, it was only one, and then there ended up being two. But it was a 10-year-old boy with a 5-inch build-up shoe. 10 years old, 5-inch short leg from birth. Shoe built up 5 inches. But he's 10 years old. 5 inches on a 10-year-old's leg looks like an amputee. And somewhere in that, his appearance passed where I was. Because we just saw a man with a 4-inch leg get completely restored in the same service. And we're sitting praying for the 5-inch short leg of a 10-year-old boy, which it's easier to just want it to happen for that 10-year-old boy. But he just sat there. And he said, Dan, what you see overpowers where you are sometimes. And you got busy looking at your friend Dale and mounting up the losses. And I went, well, I laid on my bed and cried. He's fathering me. So if Jack says, why didn't we get it, Lord? What's going on? Because I believe it's your will to heal. And I'm going to keep praying for the sick. Yeah, I know you do. So he comes and he says, Jack, it's just what we fail to see. You and Dan and some of you guys that are going after this thing. But he turns right around after that four-word answer and he says, but Jack, truly, I tell you this. Jack, if you see what I see, you will do what I do. And Jack, nothing will be impossible for you. Now you got to decide if you're going to take that personal and take what Jesus said and build on it and go after it and grow. Are you going to let a loss change your mind? How are you going to get around Matthew 17 red letters? But truly I tell you this, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to the mountain, move, and the mountain will. And nothing, nothing's nothing. It doesn't say, well, unless I've sovereignly ordained it not to happen.
Oh, man.
Nothing's nothing. Nothing will be impossible. Some scholars say, well, you're carrying it too far. He's talking to the disciples. Yeah, and he told the disciples to go make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I taught you. Go make believers of every nation, and these signs will follow those that believe. He's not talking about the disciples, talking about those that believe through their message. They will lay their hands on the sick, not debate over it. Oh. And the sick will recover. Probably ought to start going with Jesus. Stop fighting over things he said. And rising our own experiences above his word. If he magnified his word above his own name, we probably should magnify his word above our feelings, emotions, and circumstances. Yeah? Or you can take life personal and mistaking the gospel personal. That's your choice. You can get mad and offended and hurt. That's your choice. But I wouldn't suggest that because it doesn't produce anything good. So 5 months after my mother died, I was in a service and I explained the story. My mother in the room got silent because I could tell some people thought I was popping off because I was preaching so aggressive and passion was rising in my heart and I was preaching really aggressive. And some people were sitting there with some losses on their belt and misunderstanding my heart motive. So God just had me humbly just pour out the recent loss of my mother 5 months ago. Everybody was stunned because they couldn't see that in me. Yeah. So when I shared it, it was hard for them to fathom because there was no evidence of losing my mother. And I looked at them and I said with passion, and because we don't know how to quit and turn tail and run but continue in the faith, somebody else's mother will rise out of that condition because I don't know how to change my mind about the will of God to heal. And I got so, you have no idea how passionate I was, and this lady in the back corner just started to scream. I couldn't even see her back there. It was busy. It was crowded. She was against the wall in a wheelchair with MS. Her daughter was 14, crying uncontrollably, afraid her mom's going to die and leave her all alone. It's real. It's really real. And I said, does she have that disease? They said, yes. I said, get her up here to the front. She had it moved her right side. It was the opposite of mom, so I always have to. It was the right side. She had it moved her right side for 5.5 years. Whole right side, completely done. She came up. I had two ladies pray for her, so nobody made me the miracle man. Went and did a couple more things I needed to do. Came back, asked how things are going. They're praying. She's kind of looking. I said, well, move your leg for me. Move your foot. She said, sir, I haven't moved my foot for 5.5 years. I said, I know, but they're praying. Move your foot. She started moving it and swore. Soon as she swore, she went. Well, she didn't do both hands. She just took her one hand because she couldn't move her whole side. She just, and she made this face like, I just swore in church in front of the pastor. I mean, forget God, you know. We watched her push that chair to the bathroom and to the car.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Her. 5 months after Mama died. Same disease. If I'm a hurting, scarred son and a hurting, scarred pastor and I'm changing my theology to fit Mom's experience,
yeah,
I'm probably powerless.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
And now I have to create a theology that explains away instead of goes after change. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
And who would I be preserving in that mess? Me and my own feelings. I'm not going to do that to the gospel.
Amen.
I don't want you to either.
Amen.
However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Is he talking about epilepsy?
No, demon.
He just told him. Is he talking about the demon?
No.
He just told him that nothing shall be impossible with them. He's not second guessing going, oh, yes, of course. Well, how could I forget? Except for this spirit, he's a little tough. You're going to need to fast and pray if you're going to have any authority over him. He's not talking about the devil. He's talking about the way people think. He's talking about your thinking. This kind of thinking will never come out of your life. Just rationalizing and reasoning and talking to your friends. It'll only come out of your life through prayer and fasting. Getting alone with God and seeking God so who He is overtakes who you are. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
So, okay. Seriously, I'm trying to pray for the sick and I got one more thing we got to do. That was fun.
Romans 5?
No, 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 not Romans 5, Lynn. Get thee behind me, Lynn. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. No, you're awesome, honey. I'm just having fun with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Romans 5, we might touch tomorrow night and pray for some stuff. I'll tell you what I've seen in my life. I've seen a whole lot of people with STDs, hepatitis. I've seen a lot of girls that got caught in cutting. Watch their scars just disappear. There was a man that showed me, I don't pay attention to the internet. So he said, this pastor said, man, I was just checking out. I was wondering, you made a comment about people posting things and negative comments. I wasn't saying it because I knew it was happening. My buddy told me, he's a real internet guy. He actually told me it's hard to find negative stuff out there. He said, you can always find negative stuff, but he said, it's not real easy with you. You got to actually look for it. And I said, well, that's okay. But he said, there's this thing out there that said, some lady was asking a question that her friends were listening to me and she didn't know anything about me. So instead of her searching out, she's just asking this open forum question on this social media thing. What's Dan Moeller like? Does anybody know anything about him? Because I watched him on a video and it felt like one of the testimony was staged and it was a little showy. That's what he said she wrote. And I'm like, that's interesting. So I staged the testimony to, for whatever reason, I don't know. That would be pretty twisted. Maybe for your offering, huh? I guess that's it. And she said, so I'm really concerned. My gut feeling is concerned. So he said, this guy wrote back and said, well, look, there's a lot of charlatans out there, and if it looks showy and this testimony looks staged and your gut feelings, like, I would just go with your gut feeling.
What?
And then he said there was, like, all these people that jumped in to my defense and said, I know him personally. He stayed in my house for a weekend, et cetera, et cetera. And he said, all these people just went, bam, 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 bam. And I'm like, really? He said, it was awesome. I said, that's... So I just ain't getting caught up in all that. He was just telling me. But here's what one of the testimonies was. He said, listen, I can tell you exactly what Bam was like because he stayed in my house for a whole weekend. And when he left, I felt like we lost a close family member. And there was a girl I personally know who just kicked heroin, had cut herself horribly and was loaded with tracts from years of addiction. Dan called up a redemption altar call and prayed over her personally and called her forward. And every scar and every track I know her personally, left her body in that moment. I'm letting you know the stuff's for real. Dan didn't come to our church for an offering. He never asked for an amount of money, so he can't be in it for the money like you suggested. I know personally, he buys his own plane tickets and never asks for a thing, et cetera, et cetera. And I thought, isn't that awesome? You don't have to defend yourself when you're just living the life. Yes. I remember that little girl, she come up trembling and she had kicked heroin, and through power of God had helped her get free, and she's born again. And she kept saying, look at my arms. She had took a razor blade and put check marks all the way down her arm, just checking off the days of doom and despair and another day lost, another day addicted. It's crazy stuff that happens, man. Just checking her arm the whole way down, scarred with check marks, tracks all up and down. Everything disappeared. I was up in Minnesota and a young girl was standing trembling at the altar, 18 years old, who cut herself and burned herself terribly on her knees and on her elbows and on her wrists. And she's just standing there crying and nobody was communicating with her. And I walked by and I said, what's going on, honey? You good? In a high voice, trembling, she said, but it's not there. None of it's there. Like, but it's not there. I said, what isn't there? All the burns and all the cuts, like, they're not there. No, that's because he'll never judge you for where you've been, honey. He'll judge you for what you've become. So if God will never judge you for where you've been, why is where you've been judging you? If you're a new creation and old things pass away and all things become new, then they probably shouldn't be there. Yeah. We're going to pray that stuff. I got to go back to this because there's sick we need to pray for. But tomorrow I think we're going to end up going there. I don't have time to cover all this tonight. I take way too much time because I'm a teacher. But if you have any of your friends that are changed and aren't the way they used to be, but they're carrying the effects of yesterday, and they got hepatitis or an STD or organ damage or short-term or long-term memory damage or concentration damage, make sure you bring them tomorrow evening to this church. And we're going to have a redemption altar call, and we're going to get everybody up here, and we'll watch God do some pretty awesome things. All right? You in?
Yes.
Good. I personally lost count of testimonies of hepatitis not in people's blood. STDs, totally lost count. Incurable stuff, not there. HPV virus, gone again and again and again and again. Young girls got themselves in trouble, became promiscuous, felt value through the intimacy, and all of a sudden got marked. Crying, wishing they wouldn't, regretting, watch YouTube. I get this testimonies, email. I watched you preach on redemption. I cried and cried and cried and said, God, I'm not that girl anymore. I'm not that girl anymore. God, I wish I could go back and make up for it, but I can't. God, I'm not that girl anymore. And the heat and presence of God come down through their blood and take every STD out of them. I just met a man that cried so hard when he met me. And he said, dude, you don't understand. I had hepatitis so bad because of drug addiction and promiscuity and dirty needles, man. I lived so foolish in my life and hepatitis was ravaging my body. I'm watching you on a cell phone, man. You're preaching on redemption and you're talking about hepatitis and you're calling it out and you're praying over people. And I was crying so hard saying, God, he's talking about me. You see me changed. I'm not that man. I'm not that man. He took the phone and put it on his liver. And hepatitis left his body. I don't believe you, Dan. My unbelief's a problem in the body of Christ. Second Corinthians, quick, and we're going to pray for the sick. Verse 15, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I want you to understand that Paul's writing to the Corinthians and he's explaining something. He was going to go to Macedonia. He was going to pass by their way and on the way back stop in again. And he was going to get supplies from them so he could continue on his journey and do what God was calling him to do. He was calling it a second benefit. He was saying, I was going to bless you with the opportunity of blessing me with provision so I could keep on trucking. You get it? Watch. This is going to shake your heart when we read this, all right? You can hang in there. If you can stay, please stay. Because we're going to pray for the sick. And I want you here. And in this confidence, I intended to come to you before. Verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. That you might have a second benefit. To pass by you to Macedonia. To come again from Macedonia to you. And be helped by you on my way back to Judea. You guys get it? It's pretty simple. He's just writing to the Corinthians and saying, listen, this is what I intend to do. I'm going to head to Macedonia on my way back through from Macedonia. I'm going to stop by and see you guys so you can load me up with supplies and whatever I need to head to Judea and continue to father the church. You guys with me? So he's talking about his plans. Therefore, when I was planning this, watch. He's going to shift spiritual on us in a minute. When I was planning this, did I do it lightly? Maybe I ought to swing by. Maybe the Corinthians can help me. Maybe I ought to, never mind. I ain't going to bother. When I did this, did I do it lightly? Watch. Or the things that I plan, do I plan them according to the flesh? Are they just good ideas? Is it just something I'm thinking about? So that with me, according to the flesh, so that with me, there should be a yes, yes, and a no, no. What he's saying is when you live by the flesh, you're indecisive. When you live by the flesh, maybe you will, maybe you won't. There's nothing locked in when you're living by the flesh. He's making a point to tell you, I didn't make these plans in the flesh that with me there'd be a yes, yes, and a no, no. Watch. Skips and goes totally spiritual. But as God is what? Yeah. Our word to you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us and me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no. But in Him was yes. Are there promises about healing in your Bible?
Yes.
Is there? Wow. For all the promises of God in Him are yes. And in Him, amen. To the glory of God through us. We play a pretty awesome and privileged important part. Are the promises yes and amen? Or are they yes and no? Watch this. Why do we have a yes and no gospel when it comes to healing? Because we judge the doctrine of healing through the flesh. And we let our circumstances decide the will of God. So we have a yes, no, maybe so. Let's pray. Maybe He will, maybe He won't, but we ought to go for it. He said, when I live according to the flesh, I have a yes and a no. When I live by faith through the Son of God, I have a yes and an amen. You know what he says in Matthew? Let your
yes, yes.
And your no be
no.
Anything else is of the evil one. Why do we have a yes and no gospel concerning healing? Because we prayed and haven't seen things happen. So we judge the will of God by results, not the word. And we've discerned healing according to the flesh, not the spirit. If you marry yes to no, what are their children? Maybe so and maybe not. Listen, there's no covenant between yes and no. There's no communion with yes and no. You can't say let's pray maybe he will, maybe he won't. The just live by faith. Faith is knowing, fully convinced, persuaded, believe. It's the prayer of faith that saves the sick, not the prayer of hope so. How can you carry the authority of heaven without the revelation? How can you speak to the mountain without seeing and believing? The evidence of faith isn't speaking to the mountain. It's the mountain moving. So you can't say, well, we prayed and had faith. The evidence of faith isn't speaking to the mountain. It's the mountain moving. Read your Bible. If you have faith, you'll say to the We're speaking to a lot of mountains and some are just sitting there. But when you speak to the mountain in faith, the mountain... So the evidence of faith isn't speaking to the mountain, it's the mountain moving. This is humbly received that. He's not saying, because you ain't got no faith. Well, if you could go get some faith, you could get healed. Don't you tell anybody that's struggling in a sickness. Because they ought to look you square in the eyes and say, well, I thought you knew Jesus and he's in you. Would you please give him to me? Don't you pawn it off on somebody else. You grow in understanding. You grow in revelation. Don't just be quick to grab your friends and run them to a guest speaker for prayer. You pray. You grow. You cultivate your faith. I've had friends call me to go pray for their friends because the friends were backslid. The friend that called me to go pray for the friends backslid, so they call me because they know I'm not. And I'm like, what? Why didn't you go over and pray? Well, it's because you're not doing your conscience justice, because you... And I say, ain't that something? You're playing with this precious gift called time, and now your friend needs Christ in you, and you aren't even in touch with Christ in you. What are you thinking? Come on. Get out of that thing. Repent and get over there and pray for them. That's how I'll talk to you on the phone, because I care. You need friends like that. I'll be your friend. How many promises are yes and amen?
All.
Wow. Then I wonder why we have 30 reasons why men aren't healed. 33. I forgot, somebody got thinking. Well, yeah, but unbelief stops the power of God, only in the believer. Come on, let's grow in a knowledge of Him and let's continue to grow and increase. Let's keep praying for the sick. Let's not turn faith into a point in time or a hit, miss, win, or lose. Let faith be the position of your heart and let's pray. Let's not be afraid to get involved. The number one reason people don't pray is because they're afraid nothing will happen, and because of that, they already got what they fear. Nothing. So who are you protecting? What are you accomplishing? Get out past yourself and get your hands on somebody. You say, but wonder if they're not healed. Stop turning it into a moment. Wonder if they say, I still have pain. Oh, it's happened to me enough right on the streets. Yeah. You watch videos from Todd. Don't you think that everybody he lays hands on is healed? Right. I've been with Todd when people say, no, it's still the same. We just tend to watch the videos where they're healed, so we get the idea that everybody you're touching is healed. So what do you do when they say, no, I still have the pain? You don't flinch. You look at them and you say, listen, I realize you're in a hurry and on your way to lunch. Man, I'm so honored that you let me into your sphere, into your world. Just let me cross that line and pray with you. The Bible says if I pray and lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. I'm going to keep you in my heart. I'm excited about the possibilities of God and your body changing. You check in on your shoulder. You check in on your knee. You check in on your elbow later today, whatever you prayed for. And you just tell them, man, I'm expecting good things. And when that thing's changed or you don't feel the pain, I'll tell you the first thing on your heart and your mind is going to be, wow, God did this and He loves you. And nothing's lost. You give them a little fist bump, little high five, whatever you do, and you walk away. And you don't say, what am I doing wrong? Why am I not walking in the anointing? Why aren't they getting healed? I'm never stepping out again. I feel so foolish. Oh, would you stop? Yeah? Randy Clark said something that really made sense to me one time. I was listening to him and I went, wow, and it stuck with me all these years. I was sitting listening to him preach and he said, guys, I'm just going to keep it simple and I'm convinced. We need to stop talking about it all and debating it all. Let's just get our hands on the sick. I'm convinced the more people we lay hands on, the more things we'll hear are happening. Amen. If you put yourself in position for nothing, of course you've got nothing. People say, well, I've never seen a blind man see. How many did you pray for? Yeah. You're always waiting for it to happen. But then if I tell you about the couple eyes I saw open, you weren't there, so you can't be impressed. You're more challenged by it. And you think, well, I wasn't there. And you're not affected by the testimony anyway.
Right.
Because it's my story.
Right.
You say, well, I never saw anybody get out of a wheelchair. How many did you walk up to? Come on. I saw a lady in Everett, Washington, 2.5 years paralyzed from a spinal disease, get up and walk on a strip mall sidewalk. It looked like a movie. All your hair stood up. It was freaky fun. She stood up and you watched her body come alive, and you watched with every step God swallow up atrophy. 2.5 years, completely paralyzed. She unstrapped her belt, stood up, and was going, praise Jesus. Oh, praise Jesus. And she just started walking.
Wow.
She got almost here to the sound booth. You just stand there and you cry. And you're so humbled, you just want to go in a corner and cry. You're not going, yeah. You're just, you give life. Crowds gather, people are freaking out, and you're telling them what's happening, and they can't get around it because it ain't on TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I saw that in front of Walmart. I saw that on the porch of Bob Evans. But guess what? I'm putting myself in position. You say, you're anointed. I already know that. So are you.
Yeah.
I'm putting myself in position. I saw it at the gate at Jackson Airport in Mississippi. That lady preached to all the passengers. 82 years old, stood up and did windmills in front of all the passengers. And said, did you see what that man did with that t-shirt about Jesus? He knew what was wrong with me. He told me the very name of the disease. Did you see? Did you see my body come alive? I couldn't do this, people. I'm standing out at the other gate buying water, weeping, listening to her preach, and she just had the experience. Talking with the sweetest voice echoing down the hall. And I'm like, oh, preach it, girl. She said, just look at me. Isn't it amazing? Just look at me. To think, a minute ago, I'm sitting there and could barely walk and couldn't even move my arms. Just look at me. It's what Jesus did. It was Jesus. Turned into a good preacher. No training.
No Bible college.
She was letting her rip. Probably should have stopped her, huh? Now watch. Problem is, when you share them testimonies, people think you have a ministry of healing or a gift. Wonder if I'm just putting myself in position. Wonder if I'm just not thinking so much that I'm actually stopping and just going for it. Look, if you always say I'm waiting to see it happen and not putting yourself in position, you might not be there when it happens. So then you can't appreciate everybody else's story. Your own friends could tell you it happened and you weren't standing there. It doesn't impact you the same. So you probably ought to just take your hand, your faith, and go for it and not be afraid. You see people all the time hurting. We all do. You girls can pull it off easy. You girls can just be girlfriends. You're like, oh, honey, what you do? Well, and she'll tell you the whole story. I mean, you girls are amazing. Next thing you know, you just met her, your arm all around her. I just funny. I see you ladies. You're the best. Don't tell me you can't be shopping through the clothes and look through the rack and go,
yeah.
Hi. 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 Did I see you grimace a minute ago? You looked like you had pain, like you winced. Did I notice that? Was it pain? Oh my goodness, did you see that? Yeah. I don't know what it is, but my hip is jabbing me and I walk and it feels like somebody's sticking a knife in my hip. I haven't even had really hip trouble, but all day it's been hurting. And the longer I go, just, oh my goodness. Well, listen, I ask you for a reason. I wasn't being nosy. There's something I'm growing in and I'm learning. Would you give me your hand? I want to do something. It's not a trick. My hand? Yeah, we're in a store. Don't be afraid. It's nothing weird. You're going to love this. And most of the time when you ask that, they think you're going to read their palm. Or they go like this. They either go like this or they go like this. Can I see your hand? They're like, yeah, okay. All you do is just touch their little finger and maybe their next finger and just very, very lightly. Just barely touch them. See, now you got them. You got your hand on them. So according to the word, it's over. You tricked them. But you didn't. You're not being deviant. And I like to say, you're going to love this. And use something simple out of your heart. Ladies, you could do this at that clothing rack. Father, I thank you for your amazing love for this woman who I just met. Every bit of pain, you come out of her body, hip, you be whole. Father, your love's awesome. In Jesus' name, amen. She could be nervous while you're praying. She could be taken back, looking over, thinking, what is she doing? You know, you think she has to go, oh. Stop it. She might actually be going, what is she? What did I get myself into? I'm telling you, man. I was in Cabela's and a guy was with me and he's aggressive and he's running around. Can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? And they're like, whoa. And I was just going to buy something and I lose him. It's like walking with Tom, 10 steps. And we didn't have much time and I was going to get what I was picking up and I lost my friend. I come around the corner, there's a little crowd and he's on his knees. And he's praying for this guy. And this guy's standing there looking like, and his kids were on the other side of my friend behind his back going. Because dad's like, what did I get myself into? And I come around. He doesn't know that's my friend. He thinks I'm just a bystander, you know, watching. And I come around and I'm looking and I smile. And the guy looks at me and goes, to me. And I went. My friend's so sincere, he's so humble, he prays, and he just stays on his knees and looks up and says, go ahead, sir, test it, check it out, tell me if you can find any pain. He's got onlookers, he's got people sitting there mocking him all around him.
Wow.
You're looking for atmosphere. He just found faith through Jesus. Just, I don't care what they see or don't see. Jesus loves people, and I'm not ashamed. I'm going to put myself in position. It's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. Go ahead, sir. Tell me. Check. The guy's like, instant. You see it on his face. Instant. A deer in the headlight thing. It's instant. He's like, no way. You got to be kidding. He's like, oh, my goodness, guys. No joke. He's looking at his boys who were back. They said, oh, dad, come on, dad. No, you don't understand. Oh, my goodness. And he starts doing something. They're like, dad. My friend stands up. He has no idea everybody was mocking him. He has no idea. The guy just rolled his eyes at me like, whatever. He just stands up real sincere and says, see, Jesus is awesome. He's alive. He's a healer. We need to just put our faith and our trust in him. He changes things, sir. Man, I don't know what you believed and what you, but he just bam. And the guy's like, whoa. And the family's like, whoa. And all the onlookers, whoa. And then he looks at me and says, are you ready to go? And the guy's like, they're together. Because he's doing the whole. Awesome. They're just priceless. So the guy didn't believe. He's mocking, looks indignant. Everybody's making fun of my friend. And Jesus just didn't seem bothered by any of that. So I guess we probably shouldn't be. I guess we shouldn't write off his healing power and make him flighty and offended and grieved. He just didn't seem to care what they didn't see. Because he's the revelation. He's in the full beam of light. Yeah? Wouldn't it be amazing if God sat back and said, you know, now that just ticks me off a little. There's my son trying to be generous and gracious and pray, and all they can do is mock. I'll be doggone if I'm releasing any healing power to that fountain. Somehow we think that's how God is. If you look at Jesus' life, you'll know he's not like that. Yeah? There's so many stories. There's so many things about the Bible we don't understand that we fight healing on. Well, yeah, but he couldn't do a miracle in his hometown because of their unbelief. He only had a few sick folk. Yeah, nobody came to him. Nobody laid the sick in the street. We teach it as if he prayed for a paralytic and he stayed paralyzed. Can you picture Jesus in Nazareth walking through his town and everybody says, oh, here comes Jesus, Joseph's boy. And then they say, here, Jesus, if you're who you say you are, why don't you heal Freddie? Why don't you get up, Freddie? Rise and walk. Freddie, rise and walk. Freddie, rise, walk. You know, it'd be really good if you guys would believe with me for Freddie. I mean, it's so weird. Well, you got to get the unbelief out of the room, brother. Remember, he removed all the unbelief when the little girl was dead. What are we reading? They're flute players and pipe players. They're hired mourners. There's ladies paid to wail. Wee, wee, wee. And you're down at the market and you hear that and you go, oh my goodness, somebody died. And because of culture and disease, they got like 24 hours to make sure their loved one's in the ground. So stuff don't spread. So they're playing, wee, and you leave the market and you follow the sound to whoever's house so you can pay your respects and console because they're going to be buried soon. Jesus shows up because the daddy brought him there and the whole ruckus is at his house and his girl's dead. Jesus said, why are you making all this fuss? Why are you doing all this crying and all this noise? She's not dead, she's asleep. And they went, blah, and they mocked him. And he put them all out of there. What'd he say? Guys, we don't need your services. There's not going to be a funeral. Stop praying that song. Amen. Stop playing the song. I'm going in to wake her up. We don't need you. Stop crying. Stop piping funeral. Here's how we teach it. We get the impression that this must have happened. Little girl, arise. Little girl, arise. Little girl, arise. You, you, you and you, get out of the room. Little girl, arise. Ha. Weird. But we've sure believed that stuff and preached it a lot. And all of a sudden, we believe unbelief can stop the power of God. It's no match for the power of God. You got a man with a withered hand. They use him as a scapegoat. They exploit his condition to trap Jesus. There's no love in this. They know Jesus is a pushover for healing. It's the Sabbath. We got a crowd. Let's point this guy out and ask Jesus if it's lawful to heal on the Sabbath because we know he's a sucker for healing. He'll heal the guy and we got him trapped. It says it right in your Bible. They didn't have faith and they didn't love the man. Right. Teacher, tell us, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Who of you having a sheep falls into a pit wouldn't pull it out on the Sabbath? Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? What's he saying? I ain't healing him in spite of you. I ain't healing him to show you up. I ain't healing him to... I'm healing him for one reason. He has great value to my Father. Sir, would you stretch forth your hand? Bam. The whole room is filled with unbelief, animosity, and trickery. Bam. Can't stop the power of God. When you see, one in Christ is a majority. If one has faith, he'll say to the mountain. There ain't one person at Lazarus' tomb that has a clue And Jesus says, come forth. And he stands up. So much scripture on this thing. Pool of Bethesda. Porches full of sick. People say, well, if Jesus wanted to heal everybody, why did he only heal one at the porch? Read your Bible. He withdrew himself because of the crowds, because they're coming to crown him king and there's a ruckus. And he heals one man, people go crazy, come charging, and he sneaks away. What would have happened if the porches said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us? That would have been interesting. Whoever did that and didn't get something from the Lord. So the man strolling through the temple with his mat rolled up. 38 years. Healed. Sir, do you want to be healed? That question always struck me. I'm thinking the guy, what are you, wise guy? I'm laying here by this pool for how long? And you're asking me if I want to be healed. No, he's making a drawl on his heart. He says, sir, do you want to be healed? And you know what the man said? He said, sir, I have no one to help me. For every time the water's stirred, someone always gets in there first. You know what Jesus is trying to say? I'm your help and present help in time of need. I'm here. When he said, I have no one to help me, it's a heart cry. I'm all alone. Jesus said, oh, you ain't alone. Jesus didn't even hand him his business card. Son of God, have his little face on it. He did. He didn't hand him his ministry info. He just said, sir, do you want to be healed? I have no one to help me. When I get in there, stirs and water, somebody gets in there first. Take your mat and walk. Immediately, the dude gets up and goes, takes his mat and walks. He's strolling through the synagogue. The rulers of the synagogue say, sir, it's not lawful to carry your mat on the Sabbath. What are you doing? The man that healed me, he told me to carry my mat. Who healed you on the Sabbath? It said, the man could answer not, for he knew not. For withdrew himself because of the crowds. Watch. The guy's sick for 38 years. He's walking, carrying his mat, and has no clue who healed him. How can he have faith in Jesus if he doesn't even know who healed him? He can't even explain what happened. He just knows he can walk. Wow. But he's healed. Need any more examples, or did I preach enough?
No.
I preached enough. But that's some solid stuff. So the life of Jesus is the will of God revealed. It's the prayer of faith that saves the sick. So we better settle what we believe the will of God is concerning healing. And we better stop tossing it around like a hot potato. The Bible says, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. It's Ephesians 5, 7. Romans 12, 2 says, don't be conformed to the world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you can prove the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. And we think it's blasphemous to discern the will of God. We think it's a mystery. We throw it around like a hot potato. And we're supposed to know the will of God because the will of God is Jesus' life lived. Yeah? Yeah. So if you find it in Jesus' life, it's the will of God. Did he heal all that ask?
Yes.
Did all that he touched get healed?
Yes.
It doesn't say he healed every single person on the earth that was sick, but he healed everyone who came to him and everyone he came to. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went around doing healing
all.
That means everybody he prayed for. So until I see that in my life, I haven't grown into that, so I'm going to follow him, not the 33 reasons why not. Because in another year, it'll be 35. We'll get a little more wisdom. We might work it to 40. I'm sorry, I'm being a little facetious. I just, this stuff grieves my heart because it robs us of truth. So it's really late now. And I preached a long time. It's weird because I'm sorry, but I never am. I'm okay. And we lost a few people. It wasn't offense. It was time. We want to pray for the sick. If you're, who's in this room, you need prayer for a condition, but if you were healed in the moment, you'd have no way of knowing except for just faith in your heart, believing you were healed, but you wouldn't be able to examine your body. There'd be no way to your condition because it comes and goes, or it needs to be tested, or it's internal and there's no real strong symptom or pain. Who has a condition that if you were healed, there'd be no way to know it if you were healed? Only you for right now. Just you. We'll get the next group next. Only you. Stand to your feet real quick. I want to teach y'all something. Hopefully. Don't hear that presumptuously. I'm just trying to help. You bump into a situation. Somebody give me an example of what you stood for that you wouldn't know, that's not too personal and private. Just shout something out. What is it? Okay.
Bipolar.
Okay. There you go, even epilepsy, all these things. Sometimes diabetes can be a tricky one because depends what stage diabetes. Some people have neuropathy, skewed vision, weakened vision. They'll have different symptoms, but a lot of times it might not be that way. It might just be they're checking their sugars. They're not normal, so they're taking insulin, but they don't have any current symptoms. So epilepsy, excellent one. What is it?
Veins.
Okay.
Blocked veins.
There you go. I was just seen on a cat, on an X-ray, on a CAT scan, on ultrasound or something, right? Yeah. So these kind of conditions, if you hear, who was ever at lunch and heard somebody talking about stuff like this? Or who was ever just walking in, you're in a line at the grocery store and you just hear somebody in front of you telling the person in front of them about a challenge like that in their life? You know how easy it is to just lean in and whisper? The worst they can do is tell you, leave you alone probably, or be rude, or say, let me go, or I don't want you to pray. That's the worst they're probably going to do. And if they shoot you, you won't die. So even if they go that far, you'll still be alive forever. So take heart. But they're probably not going to shoot you. But you just lean up and say, wow, I couldn't help but to hear what you said to that lady about this condition and about epilepsy. Man, I'm listening. Listen, I'm just wondering. We're almost up to the line. Nobody will know what we're doing. It'd take 10 seconds. Can I bless you, man? And can I believe that God would touch you in a way today that that symptom would never come back ever? You got nothing to lose, man. Please say, don't say no. Please don't say no. I mean, I tell them, please don't say no. I say, well, if you want to. Oh, I want to. That's why I ask. I'm seeing God do a lot of awesome things. Listen, I ain't got nothing up my sleeve. If I didn't know this was possible or see God do this stuff, why would I possibly even ask you to? What do I have to gain in it? I'll probably never see you again, man. Now, here's what you do. Epilepsy. There's no way to test it. There's no current seizure. There's no visual in the moment. So you just say, Father, I just thank you for wholeness in this young man's life. And I just thank you that epilepsy would never return and never show its face in his body again. I thank you, God, for complete wholeness, complete freedom, all the days of his life because you love him.
Yes, God.
Through your Son. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen? Amen? Now, who knows, you can believe that stuff. Were you receiving that? You were, weren't you? I felt that. I don't usually feel stuff when I'm praying because I don't need to and want to. The Lord told me a long time ago I took feelings away because you were living by them, Dan. I used to get like a buzzsaw, vibrate, get numb, tingle, zzz, zzz. And then when I was like that, get out of the way because I'm an absolute wild man. Because it's like... And the Lord started talking to me about it. And he said, Dan, do you understand that's just a grace to encourage you into things you've never done? He said, it's like a pat on the bottom of a child encouraging a child to walk. He said, but you're living by the feeling. You're more encouraged when you feel me and you're less encouraged when you don't. You're believing the feeling, not the truth. And I was like, yeah, yeah, whatever. I so love the feel. So I really didn't listen to the Lord. And one day I realized I had no tangibility and no feeling when I was praying for the sick. When I was just praying for him, my hands got heavy and they felt fat. And I felt this bzzz, just like it was just cool. It just felt cool. Yeah? Ooh. It was just good. It was just fun. And I thought, hey, I think he's taking this prayer personal. That's what I looked up and you were. It was funny. So one day I was driving in my car and I said, Lord, I was at a meeting. I was praying. I could tell some people felt some things and God was moving and healed some people. But I didn't experience any manifestation of nothing when I prayed for the sick. I said, Lord, I realized I'm not even feeling you. Why don't I feel you anymore? He said, you've been caught living by feelings. He said, I told you it was just a grace. He said, I've taken the feelings from you so you minister unlimited. You're leaning on the feeling and you're only as encouraged as you're feeling me. But I always am. My word's always true. I'm always yes and amen. Time for you to see that and believe that and be unlimited. I went, whoa. I've seen most of the dramatic healings in my life, never even feeling a goosebump. I've watched tumors disappear with my eyes. I've watched bodies change. I saw a lady grow 4 inches and heard her bones clunking as her body came back into alignment. I've experienced it. I've watched people come out of comas. I've seen some things in my life. And some of them I never felt a goosebump. I've watched 4th-stage cancers leave. Saw a tumor in a boy's head disappear. I've had some fun in my life. You tell those testimonies, then everybody brings all the sick to you. And the whole point is we are the body of Christ.
Amen.
So I quit telling the testimonies so I wouldn't get crowded over all the time. We've almost been trained to run to the guest speaker for prayer. No, it's the body of Christ that's anointed. And these sides follow those that
believe.
I'm looking at the church. Real quick, we don't have to take time with this. We're going to do this quick. Don't take it personal. It's nothing against you guys. It's just that this is a simple prayer of faith. You wouldn't know if you were healed in the moment anyway, right? So here's what you do in your heart. Wow, Father, thank you for the love, the agreement, and the faith. And thank you for changing this situation. I'm fully believing and expecting that this would never show its face again. And God, I thank you for loving me and making me whole. The Christian only ever has one response. Thank you, Lord. Yeah?
Yeah.
I prayed for a little girl once. When she was born, her leg only came down to her kneecap on the other leg. Her foot was at the kneecap of the other leg. It was a condition. They said when she was full grown, it would be a withered little piece of thing that looks like a tiny baby leg. And the lady said, I told her, don't anybody come to me for prayer tonight. I was in my home church. I was visiting. And people packed the place and brought all their sick. And people drove for hours and brought their sick. And I turned the body loose to pray for each other. And they were all waiting to come up front for me to pray for. And I could feel it. And I said, guys, you're missing the whole point. You're missing the whole message tonight. I don't want anybody coming to me for prayer. I said, the Jesus in us is enough. So I turned them all loose and got them to pray. I said, don't anybody come. I'm over getting my things together. And I'm just ready to say hi to a few folks. Lady comes up to me with her baby all wrapped in a blanket. I'm a pushover for babies 3 months old. I'm like, what's up, honey? She said, well, sir, broken English, Indian, Middle Eastern lady, I realize there's no one coming to you, and you are totally available. I'm like, nobody's coming to me because I just said don't. She said, could you please pray for my 3 month old baby? And I'm not like, well, honey, you're breaking protocol and I told you not to come to me. Go back to your seat. I'm like, what's up with your baby? I'll pray for your baby. You have a 3 month old? What's wrong? She pulls down the blanket and there's this little thing and a regular leg. And I looked and I said, whoa. I said, from birth, it's like that. She said, yes, it is. And she named it. It's a condition. They say she will grow up. And I said, wow. I looked at her and I said, and you're believing God will just fix her leg? She said, she got offended. It was a good offense. She said, he is God. He can do anything. I went, whoa! I said, you know why he would? And I began to share his love and Jesus. And I just started talking. I looked down and in front of my eyes, her leg just started to form into the other leg. Right in the moment. And I said, honey, don't drop your baby. Look at her leg. And she went, now guess what she did? She took off running for her husband who was holding their boy with spinal bifida passing to our people. She ran, pulled back the blanket. I saw it. I watched the whole thing. I went, oh. Because all of a sudden you're a hero. And we missed the whole point. It was all her fault. She said, he is God. He can do anything. I didn't even pray. I just started telling her why he would. And it grew out. We said, see, but you're anointed. That's a gifting. You're walking in it, brother. I went under your umbrella. We missed the whole point. We make it all about gifting and ministries. and people instead of Jesus. So I watched it. She runs over and she pulls back the blanket. The husband goes, he's looking. He goes and snatches the boy right out of the arms of one of our people while they're praying. And I'm like, ah! He comes running over to me. This is amazing. My wife showed me what happened to our daughter. Here, you must pray for my boy. I said, I can't. He said, excuse me? I can't. I'm not gonna. We drove 5 hours. I don't care if you drove 10, sir. I can't pray for your boy. I can't. What do you mean? You are anointed. We watch you on YouTube. We know if we come, he heal our children. He already heals my daughter. You must pray for my son so he heal my son too. I wonder how you handle that. Sure. Give me that boy. I said, listen, sir, we got a problem. I told nobody to come to me. I watched you rip your boy out of the hands of our people. They are no less anointed than me. You're misunderstanding. If I pray for your boy and he even remotely changes, then it's my fault. And it's because I'm gifted, anointed, I'm the man. I disagree with whatever they prayed. I believe your boy's going to change. I'm not praying for your boy. You must pray for him. I cannot believe you deny me to pray. I can't. I said, sir, I don't suggest you go there. Getting offended is not your answer. You have one response. You leave here thankful. But my girl, she's healed. My boy is still the same. Look at him. He not changed. Shh. Relax. Stop looking with your eyes and leave here and thank God. Ooh. He just starts leaving. I called him out loud. Sir, I don't suggest you leave that way, but it is your privilege. But I have good news for you. And I'm weeping by now. Even if you leave under these conditions offended, those people that were holding your boy, we teach them how to never let go. Have a good day. He left. He didn't talk the whole way home. 5 hours, mad, gets home. Says to his wife, deal with the children. I do not want to mess with the kids. He grabs the luggage. He's slamming it in the bedroom. His wife's in another room screaming. He's running. What is wrong? What is wrong? He turns the corner. Here's a spinal bifida diagnosed child who has never tried to crawl, let alone walk. Never tried to stand. He just lays limp and clings. He's standing in the middle of the room. The man's doing everything wrong. And Jesus is Lord. You better learn how to never let go. You better not let his disposition excuse you from believing. And you better not let go of that child in faith.
Yeah.
And you better not make the dad his reason for not being whole. Because you carry a kingdom way greater than what that man ain't seeing. Yeah? You see why I get the way I get? Because I got stories like this that I could tell you for hours. Turned on his cell phone and videoed his boy walking across the floor. And he never tried to crawl in his life. God, who holds all things together by the word of his power, said, stand up, son. And he said, yes, Lord. And his legs just knew how to work. Yeah? He came to church and messed with me so bad. He came back the next month I was there. My pastor said, no, I didn't tell anybody about the little girl. Nobody. Because I know what it causes. I just told my pastor. And he knew not to tell nobody. Didn't tell anybody. But man, did they set me up. He gets them up and says, I got a testimony from last month. This little girl, they're going to tell. They call him up. I thought, oh man, I hope she doesn't say Pastor Dan prayed. But she did. And the man looked at me and started to cry and said, Pastor Dan, I owe you an apology and I'm so sorry. He said, you have much wisdom. And I went, huh. He said, you tell me not to be offended, and I'm offended. You tell me not to, and I do everything you say not to do. He tells the whole story. He says, and we got home, and my wife screams. He tells the whole story, and everybody's like, he's holding this little boy who's never tried to crawl or walk. He whispers to him, sits him down, and he runs to his mama. And everybody falls apart. He's crying. He turns to me and said, I want to thank you for one thing most of all. Thank you for teaching those people how to never let go. So maybe I'm not just so anointed. Maybe I just understand a couple things and I'm a okay teacher. I'm going to pray for you. I'm sorry I made you stand so long. Hey, ma'am, you gave up on me and sat down because you were tired of standing. No, jump up. I'm praying now. I pay more attention than you realize. Not much slips by me. You guys ready?
Yes.
Simple prayer of faith. Stretch your hand to somebody. If you're sitting close, just grab their fingers or hand. Just don't be offensive. Don't mob them. Just simple. It's a prayer of faith. Watch this. All I want you to do, if you had faith to stand, is believe he loves you and he's making things whole, okay? Father, we just thank you for loving your people. We thank you for finishing the work through Jesus Christ. And right now, we thank you for the humility and the faith in people that dare stood up tonight and didn't just say, oh, well, whatever. God, they stood up, and I think that's awesome. So, God, I just thank you right now for wholeness in every one of their lives. I thank you that the blood of your Son, Jesus, speaks better things. And even as you forgave all sins in our lives, you remove all quandaries, all ailments, all sicknesses, and all disease. In the authority of Jesus' name, be healed. No more sickness. No more symptoms. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, we thank you for wholeness. And we give you all the glory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's real simple. Prayer. We won't be able to test anything. We just got to believe. Now, I need you to stand if you're in this room and it's getting late. And I'm sorry, that's just me. I mean, look, I'm here for one weekend. It's a blur. You guys got to cut me a break, right? I mean, yeah. Like, one, two, three. This is only my fourth session. I'm just getting going. So you got to cut me a break, okay? I flew all the way out here. Just bear with me, man. Stand up if you want prayer and you got a condition in your body that if you were healed, you would absolutely know it. If you can't stand and you're too hurting to stand and you want prayer, make sure somebody knows you're there by going like this, okay? But stand to your feet if you need prayer in this house. And if you were healed, you would definitely know your body's different. You would be able to check something without exaggerating, okay? Now watch. We're not going to play no music as awesome as... Who knows these folks around here are awesome?
Yeah.
Like, who knows, we could get up here and we could make it feel really right. We could get this place buzzing, right?
Yeah.
We're not. I'm going to make it as dry as we can make it.
Amen.
On purpose. Because it has nothing to do with all that stuff most of the time. When you're in the parking lot, when you're in the mall, it has nothing to do with the atmosphere we experience in the corporate setting. It has to do with the kingdom that's in you. So... do I have everybody? Are you standing? Is there folks still sitting on me? You got, yeah? Yeah. You got, like even just arthritis symptoms. You're just not the same. You're going up the stairs and you feel it in your hips and your body and it's troubling you and it's not getting better. Stand to your feet. Why would you sit and just say, oh, well, that's you? Okay. You're sitting though. We'll find you. You make sure we find her. Make sure you point. In fact, I'm going to make sure she's covered. I want a young lady that's not afraid to step out and pray, that believes God's a healer, to go stand with her till we're ready. You got it? Yeah, that's awesome. And watch. She was just healed Friday night. So that's excellent. Because when you, yeah, that's just good. It helps. It just helps you go, yeah, right? But I tell people, even if you have sickness, don't stop praying for the sick because it's making a strong statement that I believe in healing. I'm not letting my circumstance decide my faith. The word already settled that. You say, well, I'll be a hypocrite. No, a hypocrite is a game player and a mask wearer. If you're praying the sick when you're sick, it must be a strong statement of integrity that, you know what? I'm raising God's word above my go-through, and I believe He's the healer. It's actually humility. Okay, so we got everybody? You sure? Stand up if you need to, if you got something less than wholeness. I feel like there's two people on some kind of medicine for something, and you didn't stand up, and you're on a prescribed medicine. Thanks for jumping up. Thanks. Thanks. Okay. Now listen. I need you to do this. We're all going to do this together. There's no music. Do you feel it almost feels dry? I like it. Raise your hands real high if you stood up for prayer. Just raise them up high. You can put your hand down when somebody gets you. Just one hand. Just one hand. We're not praying yet. Don't get all spiritual on me. All right? You guys are awesome. Nina's like... You're ready. Heaven come. You postured on me up here, man. You were like, it was good. Just one hand so we know, so we don't lose you in the crowd. Now look, the people sitting, you didn't know this. Maybe, but you're my prayer team. And I'm not controlling you and I'm not commanding you, but I am asking you, why don't you get involved? And if you're nervous, I really want you on my team. And if you never prayed for the sick and you're uncomfortable, I want you on the roster. Because it's a great time to step out and break that thing. Because you're in the safest atmosphere. And watch this. You can't do anything wrong. Because I'm only going to give you 6 seconds to pray and I'm going to kind of tell you how we're going to pray. It's just to help you get going. So if you're uncomfortable, why don't you do yourself a favor and make sure you get involved?
There you go.
Go ahead. Spread out. Don't pray yet. Just claim somebody. Just have fun with it. Say, hey, you're mine. Hey, I'm claiming you tonight. Just go grab somebody. Go claim them. Come on. Till every hand's down. Put your hand down if you're claimed. If you're claimed, get your hand down so we're not confused about it. Only leave your hand up if nobody claimed you. Only leave your hand up if nobody claimed you. We still got a young man with his hand up. Oh, they got you? Is there anybody that's not claimed? It looks like we got y'all. Okay, here's the deal. Real quick, 3 seconds. Just ask them why they stood and what you're praying for. If it's not too personal, give them the 3-second version. Don't take them back to when you were 10 and fell off the bike or something. Just 3-second version. Okay? We should have it, right? Everybody ready? Come on, let's slow down. Let's stop all the chatter. I just want you to look up here. We're going to do this together. I appreciate you being social and friendly. I'm not being mean right now. Listen, do you know what you're praying for? You got it? Okay, now watch. I'm only going to give you about 6 seconds to pray. I'll wind you down at 6. We'll be done by 10. There's a reason. The Lord told me to do this every time we do this corporately, to teach this one thought. We get too involved with our prayer sometimes. We think our prayer is what heals the sick, and we try to pray hard, we try to pray right, we try to pray powerful. We try to quote scripture. Your prayer never has and never will heal anybody. It's your faith in what He accomplished through His Son. It's just simple belief that He loves the person, He paid the price to restore him, and He wants to. That's all I want you to believe. Last week I was in Washington and this... I hope so. Took out chairs and half the cement. Girl! Whoa! What's going on? How do you know you're healed? What'd you pray? What's going on? Talk to us.
We are totally healed.
Oh, we believe you, honey. She let her cry for a while. When she calms down, we want her to help us understand what's going on. But she needs to cry. You think she's making that up? You think she's like getting a little emotional? Come on. You know the body you're living with. And you'll know when it changes.
And we're just getting started.
I'm serious. This is awesome. Now listen. Your prayer never has, never will hit anybody. Last week I was in Washington. And this man came up to me weeping. And he said, I've been praying so hard for the sick. And I've been stopping people in public. And I haven't been seeing anything. And I'm like trying so hard and wondering why. And I'm trying to listen to you and Todd and get all these teachings. And I don't know how I missed the simplicity of the night. He said, man, you rocked my world when you said your prayer never heals anybody. It never did, never will. Stop trying so hard. It's God's love for the person. He said, when I looked at that lady that I was going to pray for, she had chronic pain for 8 years in two areas of her body. Undeniable pain. It never went away. There was never a moment she wasn't in pain for 8 years. He said, I kept staring at her while you were talking and glancing at her going, man, you love that lady. God, you love her so much. You sent your son for her. You love that girl. And as soon as he touched her and prayed, 8 years of pain left her body. He had never seen anyone healed when he prayed because he was trying so hard. He was sincere. But if God would have moved when he was praying, he'd have been teaching him and he'd have got into works that it's his prayer. He might have got caught in pride. He might have started going on and started a ministry, how to pray. What happened to her? What happened, honey? How do you know you're healed? What? Talk to us.
I don't know. I just felt feeling it again.
Yeah? But what was going on in your body before? What was... Okay. You feel light and free and limber? 30 years. Do you have any trace of it right now in your body? No, it's not going to. Here's what it is. It's actually affliction. It's an infirmity. We have this phrase back home, if you move, you lose.
Yeah.
It's not going to come back. It's going to leave you. You just stand there and love her and thank God for wholeness like when we pray. Yeah? See, that thing, that's the manifestation. That's the thing. It held you for so long.
Yeah.
The only time a spirit of infirmity manifests like that is when it's threatened.
Yeah.
And this simple teaching, it's freaked out.
Yeah.
And it's like, uh-oh. I'm telling you, it's going to leave your body. It has to. Okay? And you just receive God's love. Okay? I was in a service with Randy Clark, and a lady got healed of 20-some years of fibromyalgia. And the next day, I was sharing the testimony because we were praying for something else, and she got healed. And I went to teach, and Holy Spirit said, what are you doing? And I said, what do you mean? I mean, I'm going to teach. He said, why don't we heal every fibromyalgia in the room? And I was like, okay. I said, is there anybody else with like fibromyalgia? Said, you got to understand, Randy's conferences are big. There's 1,000 plus people standing there. 80 people. Like 80 people. Might have been 60 to 80, but I think it was close to 80. Stood up with some level or symptom of fibromyalgia. To my knowledge, not one person had a symptom left when we prayed. Not one.
Thank you, Father.
You guys ready?
Yes.
I want a simple short prayer of something like this. If it was fibromyalgia, fibromyalgia, you leave. Every affliction, every infirmity, you go. No pain remain. Body be whole. In Jesus' name. If you want to throw in there right before you end to keep your heart focused and keep them tuned into the why, Father, it's all because you love them.
Yeah.
Thank you for your unstoppable love. In Jesus' name, be whole. Who knows that simple stuff? Who knows you're not pulling anything out of a hat? It's not the tune of a shofar or the color of a flag.
Come on.
I'm not against things, but it's not works. It's finished work.
Yes.
You with me?
Yep.
So pray so simple and so relaxed tonight and be at peace. And all I'm asking you to do is be sincere about believing that God wants to restore people because he sent his son. Is that simple?
Yes.
Can we do that? I bet we can. Now listen, I'm going to give you 6 seconds, wind you down, close you in about 10. When I say wrap it up, here's what I'm asking you to do. You just stop praying about the thing and say, Father, it's all because you love them. I so appreciate what you're doing in their body. Be whole. Jesus' name. We'll be done by 10 seconds. After 10 seconds, all I want you to do, if you were prayed for, is take about 4 or 5 seconds in your heart to acknowledge God's love and thank him for what he's doing in your body. And then I want you to thoroughly inspect your body and check that area that was obvious. Okay? As soon as you know you're healed, I want you to let us know. We'll find out what's going on in the room. If you don't feel change in your body, don't disconnect and rant and ramble your mind. Here we go again. Why ain't I healed? It never works. I never get healed. I didn't want to stand up. I shouldn't have stood up. All that stuff happens to people.
Yeah.
Do not disconnect. Stay tuned in and watch what God's doing. Continue to stay thankful and rejoice that He's a healer and watch what He does in people's bodies. Would you?
Yeah.
You all ready?
Yeah.
Isn't this fun?
Yeah.
I'm not praying over top of you. I'm not going to pray and have you say it's because I prayed. This stuff happens to me all the time and I'm just done with it. I'm talking about it now to knock it off so everybody just cuts it out.
Amen.
I've had people corner me and say, Dan, you need to face it. It's happening because you're there and you carry the revelation. I'm like, no, no. I'm teaching and the revelation's in them.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah?
You're just not going to put it on me. I won't take it. You're not going to throng me with all your sick. I'm going to give them all to you.
Yeah.
The man asked me to pray for him out there. It's not that I'm against praying. If I wasn't at a church meeting, I would have prayed with him in a heartbeat. But I grabbed a young man standing beside me and asked him to pray. Why? Because I just want to get people involved and give people that experience and get them acclimated to stepping out in God. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
10 seconds. Go ahead. Love them in Jesus and give them faith. Thank you. That's awesome, guys. Yeah. Okay, wind it down. It's all because you love them, Father. In Jesus' name, behold, remember? Go ahead. Wrap it up. Everybody, in Jesus' name. Amen? Okay, thank Him that He loves you. Just thank Him, believe it. You don't have to clap. Just in your heart. Just know that He loves you. Just know that He's for you. Begin to check your bodies all through the room. As soon as you know you're healed, let me know. I need to see who's healed. As soon as you know you're healed, go like this. You know it for sure, instantly? What was it? What happened? Was it froze? Was it hurt? Was it tendonitis? What was it? Tendonitis? It's painful? It's like, ah? Gone? Gone. Good. Who else? Check your bodies. It's hard for me to see, so wave your hand like this. You know you're healed? Is she healed? You healed? Who else? Let me see you. Yeah? What happened? Talk to me. Pay attention, guys. Check this out. If you already checked your body and you didn't even feel it change, don't pray again yet. Just let's listen. Let's see what God's doing, and we'll pray in a second. You know you're healed? Awesome. Hey, that lady right there in the peach color, what happened? You just know it changed? It's definitely changed. Good. Sir, back there. Yeah, yeah. Shout it out. Rotator cuff? Was it? What was it? Yeah? You couldn't do that. You couldn't do that. Show me what you could do. What was your limit? What did you do? What could you do before they prayed? What would have been your best? But you didn't have the range of motion and the... And back here and strength. You got strength? Wow. So that changed. It's good. Anybody else? What's going on? Anybody changed? What happened, honey? The pain's gone? Wow. So you're under a doctor's care? You're going to be getting physical checkups? I mean, a physical checkup and stuff? They're going to be looking at numbers and all that stuff? Okay. But right now, your body feels different? Strength in your body? You just feel vigorous? And no pain? Stretch your hands to this woman, guys. Father, we just thank You that it's that simple. We believe it. We believe her testimony. And that God, when she gets tested and she gets looked at, that they find this thing is going. And we just thank you that, you know, even the chemo and everybody's efforts and attempts to help folks, we are not against that stuff. We are not pushing against medical science and people's heart to help. But we believe you're a healer. And we believe that right now you brought change to this woman's life. So we thank you for it, and we thank you. It'll never, ever return in Jesus' name. Amen? Who else? You need to share something real quick. I'll just take a couple more and we'll move on. You got one?
Yeah, spinal injury. I had a herniated disc in my neck about 5 years ago, and I deal with numbness and tingling in my arm real bad and sharp pain going down my back. I have no more knee.
So that's pretty obvious symptoms, it sounds like. Yeah. Was that a problem? Was it hurting bad? I mean, 5 years it was hurting, though?
Yeah, 5 years. I couldn't even barely lift my kids or anything.
Your arms were that weak from the thing? You feel strong right now?
Yeah, I feel good.
You can pick up a chair or something. Yeah! You couldn't have just did that a couple minutes ago? Jesus, we love you. Is that awesome or what? Come on, guys. I mean, maybe I paid him to do that to encourage my ministry. I don't know. I don't even know his name. What is your name?
Justin.
What is it?
Justin.
Father, I thank you for Justin. I thank you for the revelation you're growing in his life. I thank you can continue to form him in your nature, your character, your wisdom, and your love. And Father, I thank you his body will stay strong for the rest of the days of his life. And I thank you there'll never be a repercussion of this former thing. I thank you, God, you've made all things new tonight. And I thank you new things will remain in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Who else? Real quick. Somebody else noticing something? Yeah, there's hands. But yeah, man, when I put this, I see hands I couldn't see. That lights are bright. Somebody talk to me. Shout out. What's happening? Okay. Awesome. No, that's awesome. Let's do this. Be patient with me real quick. Are you guys in this for a little ride here? Let's learn something. Who here, when we prayed for you, you feel somewhat better, just not all the way, so you didn't raise your hand, but you got some change going on? Raise your hands. Don't be shy. This is a pretty easy one, because if something changed, yeah?
Yeah?
Come on, buddy. That's good. I love that smile on you, too. Come on. That's you right there. Don't let anything ever take that from you, all right? I love that. It's just freedom on your face. That's good. Why don't you stand up for me again, would you? Raise your hands real quick again. If you know it's different, it's just not all the way there. But there's no doubt to you that something changed and got better. Grab them. If they're your person, snatch them and pray one more time. 10 seconds, that's all. Same prayer. Don't shift. Same prayer. Just believe God. Go ahead, Mom. Somebody else join with the family there. It's awesome, buddy. I know. I'm so glad you stood. Come on, 10 quick seconds. Jesus' name, right? Be whole. Yeah. All right, that's good. Wrap it up. Amen? Now do me a favor. Please bear with me. Do me a favor. We're learning and growing. Watch. Check your body and go like this. If that thing got even better or got all the way there. If it went even more, let's see who you are. Check it real quick. Check it. Give you time. Check it. Because I don't want you to make a rash judgment. I want you to really check it. Anybody out of that group say, wow, it got even better or it's all the way better? Better or all the way better? Better yet? A lot better. Here's what I've learned. I'm not the wise, but I've learned this. If they say it's better and you pray again and they say, wow, it's even better. Better, if I'm not mistaken, better plus better plus better plus better is heading where? So if I have momentum and I'm seeing better and then better, I never stop praying if they'll let me. And if they're seeing better, they won't not let you. So take the liberty and go ahead and pray for her and watch what happens. Anybody else change that second time? Anybody else? Going or better? Almost gone. Pray one more time, girls. Go ahead. Somebody else? Anybody else? Change. That time? For sure. Yeah? Go ahead. Just pray for it one more time. Anybody else? Real quick. See, this is awesome. That's a bunch of folks. All right. Here's the last question. This is the one we miss a lot and don't talk about. Who knows Randy Clark? Does anybody know Randy Clark? I did some things with him years ago. I haven't seen Randy for years. I love Randy. He's a humble man, and I appreciate Randy. I'm not saying anything bad about Randy. When I was in one of his meetings, I thought it was neat what he was doing, but I observed something. He had people get in circles and pray for the sick, and when they were healed, the circle started clapping. And they clapped and clapped louder, and then all of a sudden, other circles clapped, and there was a momentum in the room again. And all of a sudden, there's all these groups clapping. And they might have had 100 circles, right? But they're clapping. But I looked around and I realized there was a whole handful of circles weren't clapping. But we're all rejoicing because the people are clapping, sharing the testimonies. But we never addressed the circles that didn't clap. That could be a problem. Because the person that's not healed in their heart, thinking I'm not healed, wonders what's wrong, what's blocking, why not all these good things, why am I left out? And the people praying could actually say what? Boy, I wonder what we did wrong. Maybe we ought to get the ones in that circle, because when they prayed it happened. Maybe we ought to get them over here because the river seems to be flowing through them. Did you ever hear people thinking like this? Who here, when we prayed for you, your body stayed the same or you didn't notice change? Come on. Be bold. Raise your hand if that's true. Wow, it's not a whole pile of you compared to how many we prayed for, but it's a handful. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. We had like that many Friday night. It was 19 or 20. I got 19 or 20. Be humble. Raise your hand again. Will you let us pray 10 more seconds and just see what happens? And then we'll talk about it. Would you pray one more time for these people? You guys would know if it changed, right? Pray one more time. One more time, pray for whoever you're praying for. 10 more seconds, just come on. One more time. Because He loves them. In Jesus' name. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, guys. Acknowledge His love. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, would you do me a favor and be patient with me, guys? You 19 or 20 people that raised your hand, just check your body one more time for me, please. I just want to see what's going on in the room right now. It never changes faith with me. I'm not afraid to ask these questions. I want to see if anybody changed that time out of 19 or 20. Did anything shift or change? Did anybody notice anything? You did? Yeah? Is it going? So it's noticeably better. 80%? 85? 95? Wow. Something changed? You're feeling better? You got some relief going and some pain leaving? That's good. Anybody else? Check your body. Stay in there with me. Don't get tired of this. Something going on? What do you feel happening, honey? What? Yeah. Nothing changed the first time? Three times. And all of a sudden it started changing. Guys, nerve damage. They prayed like three times and all of a sudden it just started changing. What's that tell you? It's not a point in time. Truth stays the same. Let's stay engaged. Don't ever let go. Did you get it? Shouldn't this encourage you in praying for the sick out there? Shouldn't this show you that it's not about just results, it's about believing right and seeing what God's going to do? Amen. Anybody else? You changed. Just one more testimony and we'll go home. Anybody? That last time. Okay, if you're still listening and I didn't lose you yet, because there's a lot going on. Oh yeah? Something changed? What happened? Did that just happen?
Yeah.
And they've been praying and praying?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, boop.
Oh, it's getting better and better.
Oh, good. This is good stuff, guys. Do you hear these testimonies? So even if you didn't experience change, look at the hope you have in how this stuff works. That we don't let go. We just, Me and Todd prayed for a lady once that had arthritis. Did you ever see the knuckles so contorted from arthritis that all the fingers went a certain way and they couldn't pick up nothing? 80-year-old lady or something like that. We must have prayed 12, 14, 15 times. We weren't asking God to heal. We were saying, arthritis, you go. And she was so sweet, she said, you boys are sure go-getters. You're really good. And we're like, you have no idea. Todd's there like, bruh. You know, he just pit-bulling it, right? All of a sudden, this lady's fingers and knuckles go, yeah. And we prayed 12, 15 times. And all of a sudden, they changed. And I thought, you know what? It is not a point in time. We're just going to pray, believe, receive. So if you were prayed for tonight and didn't get total results or seem like you got any results, I really need you to bear with me and hear this. You leave here tonight believing God, thanking God for faith, for people praying, and that He's doing a work in you. Camp there, stay in relationship, and continue to live by faith. Would you? Amen. I love you guys. Hug somebody, love somebody on your way out. It's been fun.